liability. It's part of the West
Coast liability.
So yeah, it's not going to go away. And it's kind of important maintenance from the standpoint of the hydropower plant.
So they do one transformer every year?
One transformer every year, and they do the second transformer the other year on the Snake River.
One every other year, right? Because we only do Doble testing at Lower Granite every other year.
Every
so
year.
So they do both transformers at that
time. It's a three-year schedule, yeah. I think.
3 years, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they usually did, like last year at Lower Granite, they had to fix the T1 and T2. There were elements that they found when they had done the testing the year before, so they came back in that odd year that wasn't necessarily a testing year and then did the work to fix it. So it is, to my understanding, a three-year schedule, three-year rotation with two of those years being actual testing and the third being there if you have something. Because, again, the reason they're doing it during the summer is that it's generally the dry period of the year and not getting any humidity into the transformer oil. So, I don't know, is that adequate discussion?
Yeah, thank you.
Hopefully folks noticed, I think Tammy had it out, I did update the outage schedule, added some work at Ice Harbor this month, just for people's awareness.
That schedule wasn't available on the web.
Oh, it wasn't?
What? No, I didn't see it when I looked.
I couldn't get it. I clicked on it, tried to get it, but it was occasionally up there.
Okay, so I only brought one copy. I can send it around, and then if it goes around and people have anything they want to talk about later, we can.
What's the schedule
again
on
back to you.
Unit 1 and Granite? When does it come out?
Unit 1 in Granite, hopefully, is still, they're going to start the work in January, and it would be out through the end of November. They're still working on the bridge crane. The bridge crane, like the bridge crane at Little Goose, has run into some issues in terms of the contractor, some of the parts that they've brought in. But at this point in time, we're still on schedule. They're actually just in the process of getting that contract out that pretty much locks in that schedule so that moving forward now, anything that would change it would actually start to cost, you know, substantial amounts of money as well. When I talked to the PM last week about this, he felt pretty comfortable that for everything that we know right now, this schedule, we should be starting to get very firm on this schedule. Now, that said, you guys have probably noticed that over the last month or so, a number of the MOCs have couched themselves. If we don't do this work, then it potentially pushes out the bridge crane work. So, ongoing, like any maintenance, we don't exactly know what's going to happen tomorrow that we didn't expect the day before. But I think it's pretty firm, other than all that discussion.
You said the only change was the Ice Harbor on this?
I added Ice Harbor, and it looks like I only have the two lines at the bottom. So, excuse me a minute. I added Unit 2 fixed blade install. That's like 2016 work that, based on this, it's going to start in late March, April, and then the research equipment removal August 12th to 14th, which was this week. Okay. So just for awareness, I mean, this is supposed to be something that's living. If people have stuff that they're not seeing they want on the next month, let me know.
And Dvorak, less water is going to be next summer because Dvorak is being worked on.
Does Unit 3 work?
Yeah.
The Unit 3 is not until...
I thought that's there. Another year out.
August, at least next year.
Okay.
Or,
August.
Yeah. I mean, that's what that poem said.
August.
We started August.
August through March of 2017 is what we have on the schedule.
Okay.
So next spring, we wouldn't be... next year, we wouldn't be affected. Potentially in 2017, we would.
Yeah. Why is it they have to start in August?
Because by then you won't be using it. Because by then you don't go to full. I mean,
because you run out of water by then.
Yeah. You wanted to be able to get your refill the next spring too. And if you're still working after March, you start to jeopardize.
So we can
your
still
refill.
Put 6 kcfs. 7. Through.
I think
you
do 7.
7. Okay.
I think you do 7.
7.5
would. Yeah.
The big little.
Yeah. So you do big little at 5 something. We could always push it back to mid August. Maybe down to 5 anyways.
Yeah, because the beginning of August we usually be 7 or 7.
In normal years?
What's a normal year anymore?
The next one is just an up, is on here, and I think this is the last month it'll be on. McNary Log Rock was delivered. They received this middle of July. There is some work. There was a broken shaft and some other parts, as you might imagine. So it's not functional. However, there has been some assistance because Randy Chong is providing a little bit of a buffer there to try to help make sure that between CRIFM or CRIFM O&M that there's parts from Canada that have to be ordered, etc. So that is being worked right now. So we do anticipate being ready for next year.
So it just had a few small problems.
Well, I guess it's like anything you decide to get rid of.
Yeah.
There's always some hidden.
You do the problem.
Yeah, there's a reason you're getting rid of it.
But that's okay. It was $1.2 million or something for a new one.
The structure itself is intact, the boat hull, et cetera. It was some sort of a drive shaft issue. So, yeah. So we still think that we'll be able to fix it up and get it functional. It was a little, I guess, scary when they first got it that it was going to turn into one of these monsters that you should have never taken. But at this point, that's not the messaging we're getting. So we're feeling pretty comfortable.
It's like called HMS Titanic, isn't it? Just check.
Depends on who's driving, right? Okay, I have some pictures. The next item is McNary Fish Pump 2 shaft crack. So I'm going to send these around. This is new. It's unexpected, and it is changing the time frame. The current time frame right now, I think we're still hopeful that they may make next March, but it's uncertain. Yeah, this is a crack at the base of where the shaft goes into the flange. It's concerning. Just for people's awareness, our business line manager that covers the fish facilities is now Joyce McDonald. And she is drafting and trying to take it out through the capital work group process request for new fish pumps at McNary long term. Obviously not something that's going to happen within the next year or so, but she has drafted, putting together technical information so that we would have a better long-term path forward there. Now that we'll just have to be able to update on that. I think there's a need. Obviously, there's a need there, reliability-wise. The cost to just do the rehab of two and have it last for another 10 years versus just going in and putting new pumps, it just doesn't pencil out.
Just one
so
thing after another,
we expect that we will be successful, or we hope that we will be successful.
Domestic water supply issue.
You just remember, putting new pumps in wasn't super smooth either. Ice Harbor. Both times it's been problematic, so that's not going to be festive either.
Well, could this have... Yeah. Could we have a larger discussion about what's appropriate here? I mean, maybe that needs to happen. Maybe not here, but is there...
Did we kick off maybe?
Yeah, maybe there's a... we better step back and think about this.
What's your point of view?
It goes to Fitterwig when we're ready to initiate a project. Right now, it's feasibility, cost-benefit to try to just get some funds lined up. And so I don't think Fitterwig would be ready for this at this point in time. They haven't been involved. But certainly a discussion of I could bring Joyce into like the next meeting to discuss kind of the path that she's pursuing, and people could kind of poke at her a little bit.
Let's do that, because I'm thinking bigger than rehabbing pumps. Is there another way we can accomplish the AWS water supply and then more reliable?
Okay.
We're seeing problems around the region on pumps. John Day with new pumps.
So I will talk to her and try to bring her to the September meeting. We'll put that on the agenda. That'll be appropriate kickoff, and we can see where it needs to go from there.
$8. I know maybe it's not possible, but how long are you going to run this dam? Is this a big deal or not?
I guess Scott's the guy that's going to jump if you start coming up with some options other than pumping, like pushing big holes in the dam, but...
Are we at the Dells?
Hey, the freedom you not like we haven't done that.
Ten-foot
diameter hole, it worked just fine.
Mac or
so somebody MC.
So Gary, you think freedom terms? Actually, I'm okay with that. Freedom terms are there?
Yeah.
Okay, so
why did this crack again? I mean, do they know?
It's just a fatigue crack. It's part of, they found. So they went in and from a maintenance standpoint examined what all had to be replaced to put this back in service. As they're doing, putting that, trying to get it back, and they're taking this out, putting it in, is when they found this. So they thought they were prepared. You know, this has been ongoing now for about 3 years. Yep. It took a while to get the parts replaced. And
were they reliable up until 3 years ago?
No.
No. The three? No. Well, I mean, the reason Fish Pump 2 is out is, and I don't know, Bobby, you're on the phone. Do you want to comment on what happened just before Fish Pump 2 went out of service? Bobby doesn't want to comment. Okay. So we can provide more background on that, Bob. That's it's kind of something that I'm not up to speed enough to talk on. But it's been out of service, and so we have no redundancy on the Oregon Shore Veterinary.
We've got two pumps.
We have two pumps that have been operating. We had an issue in season here about a month ago where we lost a pump due to cavitation in wells. Some wells dried up.
That's another issue that I think we need. We're not done with. We need to talk some more about that too, and the reliability of that system. That's an Achilles heel I see for this whole thing. So,
and they are. They're getting a new system.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk. I don't want to take time here, but maybe that's worth a separate discussion or phone call or something just to focus on this.
Okay.
Because this is just one more piece of a bigger problem.
It's been ongoing. I think we were really disappointed in the district when this came up because we'd had Carl to a couple meetings and we had gotten the thumbs up that we weren't going to have any more issues. Now, we did have a little bit of an unusual situation in that those pumps for the actual wells going dry, that's still being investigated how that happened and why. So it could be related to just the extremely dry water year.
Right.
That said, it was pretty huge for the project and the people that work there too.
Once as we identify these sort of things, let's try to come up with ways to resolve so it won't happen again, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know. Like Tom said, is this average or is this unusual or is this the new average? So what's going on? What's the new extreme?
So there's two pumps now. What's the probability of an issue with pumps?
Vegas isn't putting the line out for you. Let's put it that way.
2%, 20%?
Yeah, I don't think that's probably something for me to answer. That's probably an engineering question. But obviously we have a reason that we have the redundancy and try to have an extra pump. Having said that and not having had the redundancy now for over 3 years, this last year in particular, we've had two outages related to the domestic water supply used for cooling, where we've had some impacts then to that ladder. And I think that these two pumps that we have, we expect them to operate well for a number of years moving into the future and then have pump two back up. I think it was Fish Pump 1 that was back in the early 2000s that was rebuilt. However, they're all getting older and they've been rehabbed. And so the bigger question of reliability is out there.
It's been going on for quite a while. Tobias was struggling with this when he was still with us. So
is that right?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, so internally within the Corps, they are trying to work it from a capital standpoint just to make it clear of a need out there. And I can bring Joyce in to sort of talk about what she's working, and we can have some further discussion.
Okay.
Lower Granite construction update. David was not available today. I think John is on the phone, basically. I don't know how much people were looking for the construction of on the JBS upgrade and fish screen slot progress continues. The plugs for the fish screen slots in Unit 4 should be done done this week. They're just waiting for some drying. Then they're moving on to Unit 6. They expect all of the fish screen slot plugs to be done by the end of September. So you'll remember that's being done in conjunction with our annual unit maintenance that goes on where we're taking units down at a time of the year when we don't normally operate them. Daytime and nighttime work for the JBS Phase 1 continues. Transport channel mining is ongoing at night with some core drilling. And some of the core drilling may start occurring during the day. That said, they do have noise monitors, and they'll be tracking that. So that's kind of something that's a little new.
Yeah.
But I think you guys are aware that they did have that SRWG meeting about 2 weeks ago on noise. I think they'll be using some of that literature review information at this point in time to determine. So David's kind of, David and or Chris are probably the people to, if we have some further questions that we need to take this back to. I talked to David the other day, and basically he had been talking to the folks out at the project, and it's the items where you're actually hammering and doing things like that that they, you know, that they're definitely doing at night. The core drilling, just being drilling, they don't feel that it's anything that's likely to be a problem, but they will be monitoring it.
Vibration.
Yeah, it's vibration. I mean, that's the thing
we learn. That's about all we learn. It's the vibration's important. We don't know how much is too much, or you know, all that's the end result of that report was that this is new ground. So setting limits is tough.
Yeah.
Being cautious is probably appropriate where you can.
Okay. Hey, Ann, this is Russ.
How do you monitor either vibration or impact?
1 minute, Russ. Charlie's talking. Sorry, Charlie.
Okay.
They do have monitoring devices that they put on the concrete wall, and it measures the vibration that's occurring.
Okay.
So if they could put something like that out there and see if there's a response when they drill, that might be useful. Maybe that's what they're doing, but...
That is what I think.
I think we should get that information before they're done. I mean, once they start, you tell us if you see something on the monitors that you can tell a response when they start, and then we can look at that and say, well, is this appropriate or not?
What's the monitor? I mean, what's the biological monitor? So just
yeah, I mean, that would just be, we don't know. We don't
well,
know.
Well, you have the proximity to the fishway as
yeah.
well.
But I mean, it's pretty clear if on the monitor you don't see any response,
vibration.
when any vibration, once you start the drill, then you don't need to worry about
talking
it.
About monitoring.
Yeah,
vibration.
Monitor the vibration. But once you see a vibration, then you have the question about if it's affecting the fish.
Yeah, I agree.
But if you don't see any vibration on the monitor in the fishway, then I think it's okay.
I would think so, too.
Yeah, so at least we have that piece of information.
So we'll take that back to... David, and I think you have a Fitterwig at the end of the month. Maybe he can bring it there, because this is really a Fitterwig topic. He's given updates to FPOM, but we're not really trying to bring a Fitterwig topic into FPOM, so just caution folks a little bit here.
The vibration part, or the
well, the JBS construction is really a Fitterwig topic, so all of the associated monitoring is then SRWG, so you know, here we're kind of O&M. And we are still operating our fish ladders, and we are still operating our JBS. So, I mean, it's okay to give updates here. We just don't want to get into a lot of details because we don't have the appropriate people to talk about the issues.
Okay.
RSW status. People are probably... Russ.
Yeah, this is Russ. Might want to mention that David sent out the designs for the JBS Phase 1B, and he needs comments back in a real quick time frame. So he might bring that up so that folks are aware of that.
Okay. Not bad, but again, it's a Fitterwig topic. Appreciate it, though.
Well, I mean, to me, they're all intertwined.
Well, and we're trying to keep the lines a little bit clearer. I mean, I know the personnel intertwine, and you guys are all in those forums,
right.
But it's... it's challenging within the organizations when everything intertwines. So
okay.
And then we're not all in all the forums.
Okay.
That's right.
Huh? Good. Thanks for correcting me. So, but feel free to comment, and we'll keep you posted if we feel like you're stepping in somebody else's forum. You okay to move ahead then? So.
Yes. I just wanted to let folks know that was out for a short turnaround on comments, since David wasn't here to bring it up.
In your inbox.
So the next one that's also in your inbox, people are probably aware that we don't have any spillway weirs now operating in any of our Snake River projects the remainder of the summer. So that was effective last weekend. Saturday, they started to try some operations to maintain enough water at Ice Harbor to operate that spillway weir. It inadvertently started to affect LOMO and their ability. And so then believe it was Tuesday, Greg sent out two MFRs specific to that, and so our path forward is now that we will not be operating spillway weirs the remainder of the summer due to the low flows.
When did that start again? Was it Saturday, Sunday?
Monday.
At Lower Monumental, there was an operation on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday where they went between spillway operation and spill. And then everything kind of got formalized Tuesday that the path forward was going to be no spillway weir operation at Lower Monumental and Ice Harbor.
So, it's
so I believe it was Monday at Ice Harbor.
Yeah,
it got formalized, and it got formalized Tuesday at Lower Monumental.
Right. And that's also coupled with the MOP plus one operation at ICE?
They're different.
It's a little different now.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And that the reason for going to them is?
So the Ice Harbor, there's not a model plus one operation, is in order to provide safe navigation at 15 feet at the entrance of the low-mo downstream entrance to the nav bottle. So again, they're related in that it's a low flow issue. They're unrelated in that they weren't made but for one another. But one could argue that the low flows needed to go to an elevated mop operation would result in a decrease in flows in the short term, but the long term, low flows over a long period of time make it There's no water.
So you couldn't have got to MOP plus one if you had the RSW operating essentially. It would have sucked all the water
so
out and did it every day.
At Ice Harbor, you had a fixed outflow of 19 kcfs, and you have a fixed spigot that's trapped in 19 to 20 out, and everybody else has a fluctuating spigot. It's hard to operate the entire system when you got a fixed outflow of 19. They got subsidized by drafting all the other projects
at
the key hard study. The bottom line is going high.
Right.
So everybody else has to subsidize the high fixed outflow of 8 at RSW plus.
So our main comment on this whole thing is that we need to get the process ironed out in case this is the new norm or even likely to occur sometime in the future, that the protocols are ironed out, that it happens efficiently and effectively, and folks are aware when it's going to happen and when it has happened. So
yeah.
In July, we did talk about the low spill patterns for both ICE and LOMO. There were some concerns that the patterns proposed were too bulk. We wanted to have them more uniform across the bays. I sent those revisions out, or that sent that out. I received some comments from Bill and Trevor regarding uniform distribution, but the hope was that we finalize those today and get those in the FPP so that they would be in place for these type of events. But what happened this
weekend
was something that would have been would have essentially been taken care of by these change forms if we'd have gotten them in place beforehand. So.
Mm-hmm. But I think one thing we're going to add to the change form is probably notification when you get to the FP system. Mm-hmm. Service
why? And that's fine.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I kind of like to know when you shut off all service passage at a dam. Is it so hard to send email?
Yes.
It is hard to send email. Okay,
but it happens on the weekend or on an hourly basis.
I'm just saying, when you get a chance to say, by the way, we hit our low flows, we've shut off RSWs. Is that a tough email notification to send out to the region?
It is.
Excellent. I'm glad to know that.
Well, what about like on the project data side? Couldn't you have some information on there indicating
Tom,
that
Tom, how about
you would be able to notice that the spill was lower than the...
If we have consulted upon operations, we have consulted upon operations that have criteria and triggers, when we reach the trigger, at what level do we need to notify everybody? I mean, I'm just alluding on a process issue, but if it's in a pattern...
I'm saying it sounds like you're doing a one-time treatment. It's like once you hit the low flow, you're going to shut the RSW for the rest of the season. Send us a notification of, hey, we've hit that season trigger mark, we're doing it.
So are you able to read the criteria and the pattern?
No, I can't really because you guys don't ever write it down. Is this how we want to play it?
Time out, because can we notify you in TMT?
Sure. That's all I'm saying. TMT and email. I didn't know it was so hard.
Yesterday.
It happened yesterday. Good point.
But there's no choice. When it happens, there's no choice.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying just let us know.
What Doug is having, he has been overloaded beyond belief. And so
I understand that.
We're trying to minimize.
And I'm not saying now. I'm saying in the future, when we get to in the FPP language, let's put a notification in. Maybe FPOM. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the projects can send it out. I don't care.
Well, the water stuff is more and more being keep being held in TMT, so I'm a little leery to say that FPOM should be doing the notifications for a water management issue.
But the project's going to be one who shuts the RSW off. So you could make, in their weekly reports, you could say, we hit the trigger, we shut off the RSW. I don't care what you guys do.
Yep, I think that that's appropriate. Certainly the project weekly reports can cover changes of operation.
So weekly reports that would already be captured in there, so there's...
But weekly reports are a week later.
Right. But there's nothing you can do, Greg. I mean, once you've done
true.
You run out of water, you're done. The map doesn't add up.
So the question is we do have the opportunity with these RSWs to toggle them on and off to some degree so flows pick back up, because sometimes it does happen on an hourly basis, but to the extent that we want to get away from that, we need to define what sort of triggers would mean shutting it off for the rest of the season, because there are hours, maybe potentially in late July, where this could occur. We don't want to shut the RSWs off for the rest of the season when we get back into the mid-20s and we can operate it. So we need to define some
That was my concern with the MOC, is that it had a trigger of, say, 6.8 KCFS, shut it off for the rest of the season. And there are some operations that occur sometimes that your flow may drop down to that level, and just temporarily, and I just want to see it shut down because of that.
Yep, exactly.
So we can talk about that as we update the fish passage plan this year, where people are comfortable trigger-wise, I think.
So is there a change form that somebody can put together?
Yeah, so we can work with the change forms that are already out, and they'll be...
So make some comments and suggestions on what you would like to see for those triggers or information.
I sent an email to Greg.
Okay. I've got his comments.
Okay.
I'm going to work on the change form after next week.
So would you have it available for our next FPOM or the one after?
I'll have it up as soon as possible.
But anyway, we can have Tammy put it on the agenda for next FPOM.
Further discussion.
Further discussion, it would be a good draft for the next FPOM.
And we're not resolving now.
We're not resolving, but for next FPOM, I have no problem with that.
Okay, so the last thing for Walla Walla under updates, Rick, and Charlie, do you have a comment on this?
Yeah, communication. If the FPOM doesn't meet on a regular basis or sometime, maybe we also need to consider the process so there's a shorter loop for that, because Greg said it's a week late. If we want more timely information, maybe we need to consider that in our suggestion to the statute plan.
Maybe I'm not following what you're asking.
I'll just point out that if Greg said the weekly reports were a week late,
right?
We identify the triggers. When they hit those triggers, it may be a week or a delay before that information
comes out.
So, especially through FPOM. So, maybe we need to take a look at an alternative way to get that information out if we want that information on real time basis.
Okay, so then we can have more discussion with the FPP change forms, and the option there is whether or not the next time TMT would meet, whether they could just bring up the fact just as a status of what we did. Is that something that you could entertain, or is that also something that you're not comfortable with?
We could put in the operations review. We do talk about the MOP plus operations and things like that in operations review. So I think
I just think it's really important that, I mean, the big picture wise is managing expectations and providing notifications. No, Tom, I know you're mocking me, but
I can't believe this is an issue.
Well, I know, because we set out MOC when a fish dies in the AFF, pretty quick, and we canceled out MOC when the RSW shut down.
It wouldn't be a coordination, that would be just an application.
I think it's in everybody's best interest to quantify either in the interoperative documents what we're doing, when we're doing, and how we do it. To the extent we can do that to manage everybody's expectation, so when we all get to a point in time and we make a decision, that we're comfortable with that, and I support that. So that said, oftentimes when we have those triggers, we get to that point in time and then everybody wants to do something different. So I recognize sometimes in real time we have to manage accordingly, but it can create challenges.
Is operations review sufficient? I mean,
that's totally fine. I said a notification. I don't care where you did it. I didn't say you didn't have to bring me a gold stamp letter to my office signed by the colonel. I didn't need anything quite that formal. I just need an email notification to be fine. If that's too much, during the operational section of TMT is fine and dandy.
Okay, that's great.
That'll work.
But just so folks know, they do have this information available to them 24/7 on our. They can go to the Spill Bay data website and look and see what spill bays are open and closed at any time. We have those for the snake projects. It's linked to the TMT page.
You have to show us that, because we lost access to that a while back. Is it now back up and running?
It's for the snake projects. It should be.
It should be there.
Even more than the snake projects.
So why don't we get that link? Why don't you guys?
It's on the TMT page, it says Field Day Data.
Let's get the link out with the minutes.
So you're more than welcome to check that out at any time, and the information is there for you.
Catching that, Tammy, that we want to put that in? It's okay. So we'll get that link out to folks, and we can further discuss as needed when the FPP change forms come out.
Comments on the FPP change forms?
Yes. So the last thing under Walla Walla updates, Rick Martinson, you're on the phone.
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you want to give an update? Obviously, there's an MOC that you would like to see come out. Bobby kind of pinged me this morning. I thought if you could just give folks an overview, and then we'll follow it up with an MOC, we'll at least get a response if anybody has any major issues. So if you could just give a brief, you know, three sentences on the work.
Okay, sure. Wasco County and Klickitat PUD have that turbine there in McNary, and they've had trouble with one of the blades cracking since 98, so almost since they put the thing in. They've determined that they need to replace the whole runner to fix the problem. They're moving forward, proposing to do that work this winter, starting in November and going through February. So there'll be a lot of turbine unstacking and removal, and then reinserting the turbine with the new runner. There's no drilling or cutting or hammering scheduled, but obviously there'll be, you know, noise associated with the removal of stuff. So FPP says if you're working within 50 feet of the ladder, you know, you need to go to FPOM. So we're coming to FPOM with this planned work to see if there's any concern.
Okay, thank you. That was great. Does anybody have any comments? Just
when was the end date? November to what?
February, through February, end of February.
Yeah, it is the in-water work largely, except for the November period. Any further comments? So the MOC will be coming out. Sounds like Greg has a draft of that. Do you think you get that out next week, Greg?
Yes.
So there's an alternative, just to make sure that you have the Oregon ladder maintenance issues, and you've got this going on. I don't know how they overlap, and if there's, if we're going to be down to one ladder, or if we're going to be down to no ladder. There's a bypass, isn't there, for this flow?
Yeah, the ladder won't be out. The water for the auxiliary system will just go through the other system there instead of through the turbine. So the ladder will be out only during the, you know, the planned winter work outage period.
Okay, it shouldn't be a problem then. I know we've had some back and forth on this. I just can't. I'm a little caught off guard.
It's a little gray when we start talking about what was cemented up for intakes over there and what wasn't. We haven't had a good picture of the cross section in a while of what feeds our lower ladder diffusers on the Washington shore. So I think that's where
there's three inlets right there on the face of the dam that go right into this area here, and those things bypass straight as gravity flow into the ladder itself.
So either you go through the unit or you can go that route.
Right.
So we have two routes, full flow.
Right.
So the ladder will have. Okay.
Should basically, be able to maintain
it should be
criteria.
Then the only issue is going to be vibration and noise adjacent to the ladder, if that's the only ladder we have running while the south.
So for one of those months during the in-water work window, it will be the only ladder operating.
So we're going to want to look at that noise issue and understand. Rick, you and I have had some discussions. It's starting to come back to me on that. I just want to make sure that we understand, and you need to let us know what kind of noise we're looking at here and timing during the day and night and that kind of thing.
I think Bob plans to do some monitoring of the noise level, but in the Lower Granite discussion, I learned about the potential to monitor vibrations. I'll have Bob look into that as well.
Yeah, like you and I, we had that. Yeah, okay, now it's coming back to more. We talked about this, and I advise you not to worry about the monitoring because we have no idea what the level would be that we would have a trigger at. So.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to look at this more in general and just say, okay, if it's really a lot of noise and it's vibration and it's next to the ladder, we're not going to want to see that during the day, do that at night, that sort of thing. And how long is that going to last and how much is there?
So we need to look at it as well in conjunction with the whole project and the species that are passing, because it'll be largely steelhead at that time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And my recollection is that steelhead generally are heavier users of the South Shore. I might be incorrect, but that's what I'm recalling.
Unless there's no South Shore.
Unless there is no Oregon Shore, so just context-wise there.
I want to assure that we have good passage, and the timing is important. Early in the season is not so much an issue. It's later as those fish start to move and head towards spawning areas.
Things, the other things to keep in mind is it depends on what kind of winter we have. I know we're not forecast to have an extremely cold winter, but as soon as we go into freezing conditions, a lot of times our passage really slows down until we start to see some warmer weather again. So, you know, that's...
Can't really forecast that, though. I mean, we're going to have to go based on what they intended. I just want to know what exactly they're doing in terms of noise around that ladder during that construction period. Anticipate a lot of jackhammering and, you know, deconstruction and stuff.
No, we don't plan to do any jackhammering, Gary, so there won't be that much, anything that like much. That.
So let's cover that in the MOC, Rick, if you can just work on that draft through Bobby with Greg here before it goes out and have some final touches, if there's some supplemental information on noise that could be added before it goes out so that when these guys review it, they have less questions.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for getting us on the agenda. Yeah.
Shouldn't be a problem.
Thank you.
No.
So we're ready to move to Portland.
Lucky you.
All right. Okay, so T11 and T12 outages, no update. The Fishview building roof, how's that going?
It's going fine. I think they're going to have a delay of like 4 days with them at the end of August. It's going to go to like September 4th. But no loud work.
Got their hoses long enough?
They got their hoses long enough. And that extended portion is just going to be putting the material down. So quiet there.
Mm-hmm. Quietly.
Silence.
Okay.
Perfect. All right. Powerhouse 1 returned to service on the 10th. And then how about the mid-season ROV inspections? How was the...
Let's back up on that last one.
Oh,
so
it's back.
Powerhouse 1.
Go ahead.
So WG-1 is you found the...
We found it.
You found it, pulled it back up, and now she's running.
The dives were all successful. Navy divers came and did. Found the weir gate. It was...
Just laying there?
Where we expected it, more or less.
Good.
So it's up, but it's still waiting to be reattached.
So it's not running now? Okay.
It's not. They were hoping to get it done by the end of this week. I'm not sure if they will. But
okay. I was going to be out tomorrow, so I'll take a look at that.
Okay, yeah, it might be done.
Okay. And then the end gate for the sluiceway is running. No big problems fixing that.
No,
cool.
That was faster than expected, obviously. So it's came back Monday and seems to be fine. Looks
great.
Sweet.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, so it's back in service Monday afternoon.
Now Tammy can
move. All right. ROV inspections. Bonneville.
We found a couple issues. Diffuser grating. The entrance to Cascades Island has a... I should have brought a photo, but I didn't think to do it. It looks to me like you dropped a concrete block on it because it's caved in and extremely strange in appearance. It's there. And I can see it, but it's...
caved in instead of out. That's odd.
Caved in, and like caved in enough that it's like pulled the bolts out of the ground.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea how that's even possible. Or what could have
meteor hit.
Never seen anything like it. Monster. So it's not really a fifth passage issue because it's still
there.
It's just...
Mm-hmm. Winter maintenance issue.
Be,
Cascade Island, this is we're at in...
back towards the elevators.
Yeah. Okay.
So I really don't know what happened there.
Must have been all that water that's falling
off. Well,
you know,
I thought about that. If something could have plunged, like a log or something.
Yeah, but nothing big enough to possibly get through there. No. Yeah. Unless it's
there's
some part of the gate there. What is that, 5-4 that's...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a chunk of it came loose and went rolling off.
We didn't see anything else in there. But yeah, there's nothing sitting on it, so I don't know what would have hit.
Yeah, they got away. Took ice. It was a meteor. Throws a meteor.
We'll look at it from close there, obviously. But no, everything else was pretty good.
All right. How about the dowels?
Yeah, we did that on August 4. Everything looked good. There were a couple grating panels that were not tight together, where there was a little excessive gap, but it wasn't bad. So we'll address those during the winter. And we took a little extra time to look at the east entrance guides because we're having some problems with weirs hanging up there, so we wanted to take a look at those. But we weren't able to decipher anything with the ROV, so we'll rely on dewatering it.
Yep.
Got it, yeah.
Are the new guides working? The guide wheels?
The new wheels are working great. The guides, the west entrance, we replaced some steel on that one. and that one's working well. The east entrance, the one that we looked at, we tried some new epoxy filler stuff to see if that, how it helped.
Have you done any guides there, or have you? That was all on the north side.
What's that?
Have you done any guides there or wheels on the east?
We did some wheels on the east.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Of all the entrance weirs, we replaced half of the wheels with the new high-density plastic.
Yeah,
and of the guides, we were hoping to get further, but it turns out that when we put new steel in, it seemed real easy. But once they tore into one, it was a lot harder than they expected. So that's why we tried the epoxy fix on the east, just a section of it, just to see how it would hold up. And we wanted to get a look at that with the ROV, but we weren't able to see it good enough. So.
That's
just gone. To determine whether or not it was.
It's probably gone.
Yeah, yeah, maybe it's gone.
What's causing the problem?
Oh, we were able to see some of it, but we just don't know how well it held up. So,
so how bad is the hangup problem?
We're holding criteria.
The big run is coming at us here. So.
Yeah, we're able to hold criteria. We're keeping deep enough. And the east, we have a lot of flexibility. Yeah. We're not riding the criteria line. We have those weirs plenty deep. And we can even leave them in manual, the one to the E2 and 3.
Yeah, you're changing a lot either.
Right.
You know,
so we'll leave them in manual, and we have to use E1, which we're not required to use anyways, but we'll use that just to throttle to keep our differential, and then we're good.
Yeah.
So I don't see any problems coming up in the fall.
All right. How about John Day?
We did it on August 3rd, and it's sweet and short. No problems with the account. And I recommend the service which we use from Portland District, the Diving Safety Office, because they do have sonar attachment, not just visual. So you have actually, it enhances your perception and you can find things. You can see it better sometimes on the sonar, different features, and if there's something sticking or protruding or out of line. Anyway, that's it.
We still had stuff for the Dells, right, Scott? We wanted to mention the. The north ladder rock wall.
Yeah, they
that's not what we're talking about. Oh, we're talking about ROV inspections. Oh, right,
sorry,
here.
You'll get
I'm anxious now.
I don't want to be close to this. It's going to be ugly.
Just hand up.
That's why you get farther away.
I got smacked.
I'm kind of sensitive about the agenda because they start talking randomly and then all.
I got confused.
Yeah, it's all right.
Don't miss
you see, you're right there.
Yeah.
We haven't got there yet.
That's where she gets right.
One strike.
Next time I'm sitting over there.
Next one you're out.
All right, so we already talked about the bomb, the ice and trash, the sway gates, right? I can delete that. So, Spill Bay 9 trunnion pin. Do you have any update on that?
I heard yesterday that small projects team, they looked like they dropped it. They said they wouldn't be able to spend any of the money and work on it this year, but I heard yesterday now they said, well, do we still have some money there? Because we can do a little bit of work on it, so I don't know what that means. If they're going to look at a print or something, I don't know.
Okay. Turn it out a couple of times.
Yeah, I don't know.
Take a picture.
Yeah. So that's all I heard.
Do okay. you have better the funding not. Available for them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, at the meeting yesterday, it's like, well, the money's there. Just the money's there.
All right, and then your OG modifications in the ice and trash sluice way?
That could probably be scratched off the agenda because I don't see any updates coming soon on that. That was just a suggested alternative.
Can you bring this to your week?
Yeah, and in fact, Brad called me and asked me about that because... he was wondering if he needed to pass somebody on it, and I said, no, it's way too early. I mean, right now, they're putting in a temporary fix for this mist problem, and that might be the permanent. So it could be, at the earliest, years down the road before we see any progress.
So it'll be long on.
Yeah. So I told Brad he can back off.
So is this one we should expect in fitting? I guess it's...
Sometime down the road, maybe. I wanted to throw it out there because it was brought up as
a
possible alternative, but there's a lot to do between now.
Combo OG pit tag detector, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Right on. What else we got to do?
So, I mean, if you guys want to keep it on there, put it there. If you guys want to keep it on there, it's fine. But then, I mean, there's not going to be any progress on it anytime soon. I mean, yeah.
We'll leave that up to the folks that make decisions on which group we're talking about these things.
Well, if you, that's right. I guess you got a response from us, and the response was,
thumbs up.
Hey, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So
if you decide to go forward with it, it goes to Fitterwig. Because okay. FPOM has already said,
yeah,
that's a good idea.
That's a great idea. I think it's probably a fish benefit.
So,
as well as an information benefit.
So the project doesn't plan on moving on anytime soon. So should Fitterwig run with it anyways?
I wouldn't mind seeing a discussion of the hydraulics and the configuration of that. I mean, that's one way to probably, well, I'm not going to go down a road of survival through that route because we really don't know that much about it. But
yeah.
Sure would like to get a detector in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So, years, months?
Years.
And maybe never at this point. Because if they put in the whole, okay, back up a step. The whole reason why they looked at it in the first place was because the falls creates mist and then it freezes on the roadway and everything. And so that was the project concern. And they said, well, hey, how about we make an OG so we smooth out the falls? But they know that that's going to be extremely expensive, and so they looked at a temporary fix that they can do this winter, and they're basically just going to put in blocks to hold the mist back. That might be the fix. So
yeah,
the whole OG thing was just thrown out there as a possibility. And, you know, maybe I brought it to FPOM too, but I figured it let you guys know that this is something out there that
this
may have
a teacher option.
Yeah.
Get everybody all excited.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Your team. That was mean. Look what you could do. No, sorry. Right. Just lay it out there and then you take it back.
Yeah.
Just like that. You think that's going to help me with the next couple of copies?
Yeah. Absolutely
I'm really
not.
Pissed off.
But I don't expect that ever. So, in that case, I mean, if there's a big interest in it, should Fitterwood grab it and run with it? That's the question.
Bring it up. Put it on the agenda.
Brad, put it on the agenda
I'll
for the meeting
again.
Whenever it happens, and we can have a little discussion about it, and Brad will tell us how it's sand.
Well, aside from some cooling mist on the road, if you were going to do this, would that be the priority bay?
It's a sluiceway.
Yeah, it's a sluiceway, not spillway.
At that part.
Yeah, so it's about, you know, for the powerhouse passage, that passes about 40% or so conventional number. The fish that go through the powerhouse, of course, that's about 40% of 10%.
Yeah, I think it's
4%.
I can't remember the people in the quarter.
So, our spillage
for the subs, it was pretty low.
Subs
was like single digit, percent,
4 million,
like 8% or something.
Both through that.
Yeah, I mean, most of the fish go through the spillway, but for those who go through the powerhouse, that has been historically 30 to 40% of the fish.
Oh, of the powerhouse fish?
Of the powerhouse. Much less of the total river, yes.
Right.
But it becomes important during this early spring, late winter, early spring, when your adults that overshoot from like 50 miles start coming back down, that's the route that they're taking.
Yeah,
so
right.
I was only talking juveniles. Yeah. That's a important route for
it's a good thing it's
Kelts.
Turned off. A reason to have it off, it's a safety app.
Thank you.
Because the adults going to the turbine's a much better option.
Yeah.
Yeah. We prefer
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Some
but survival through there is way high, so maybe we shouldn't touch it.
Really good about forcing fish
yeah.
to what we want them to.
I know.
Maybe we'll just mess it up.
I don't think so. It would be better.
I can't imagine that would do any harm, but you never know.
Spent a lot of money at the Bonneville Water Collector to make sure that had a good OG in it.
Yep.
Had the same kind of drop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. Probably the best route of passage that we have in the river.
It's back when we were rich. Flush with the cat.
Oh,
yeah.
You're rich.
Yeah.
We can
all right, so moving on then.
There you go.
Gives it a spill.
Because we're not going to discuss kelp passage now. Now, Ricardo, you may talk about your rock wall.
Not me, Scott.
No, no, let's just do it. So, the Dalles is doing a rock stabilization project at the Dalles North Ladder. and the PDT is about to do the 90% DDR. And so what we're asking is, do you all want to review that DDR? So the tech need to ask,
no.
I think we need to send it out to the region.
Yes.
For review.
Yes.
Sweet.
Is
consensus?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Send it out. People review it. Are going to review it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the project won't be until 2017, 2018, that in water work.
Perfect. Out. Send tons of stuff out.
But we need a quick turnaround on that.
Yeah, it'll be a quick turnaround on the DDR.
Quick turnaround in 2019.
2016. The DDR will be out in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we've at least I worked on the original Rock Bolt and Shot Creek project on that for the PIES program back in the early 90s. So, admire myself at least.
Okay. Yep. Also, the entire group. Look at it. Ricardo will be the
nobody
biologist.
Nobody else cares. That's fine. We do.
Ricardo will be the biologist on this. I'll pick it off. So.
Good. All right. John Day, orifice inspections.
He just walked out.
Must have saw the.
Just saw comments. Yeah.
She's following the gym barefoot.
Yeah.
Fishway.
It's Fishway.
Even more.
You're still talking about
look at
the Dalles, right?
Yep. It's not. Yeah, it's not the EWS. The shot creek. That all
right.
That stuff
not EWS.
That's still falling apart. Continue to fall apart.
Right. Well, actually, no. They look at that. It looks great.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is the rock wall for the.
This is the actual ladder.
Oh, yeah, then definitely send that out.
Yeah.
I thought it was even more, because
that's a direct effect on fish.
Yeah. I thought it was the rock wall.
Right.
I was thinking it was the old AWS wall, but this is actually the fish wall.
We got a presentation about that 2 times ago. So.
Right.
All right, so something different.
Cool.
Yeah, the AWS wall looks pretty good.
Because that was the
I mean, it's not pretty, but I mean, it's not falling.
It's falling. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's all
took a close look at it.
It's
not falling.
We did
apart.
Look at that.
Miro is back.
Miro in the house. Okay.
Right. Yeah, Miro's in the house.
All right, so Miro, we're on to John Day. Where is he? Orifice
inspections.
He's
eating your plums.
What is it?
Orifice.
The orifices.
Orifices?
Not plum
yes.
Orifice,
we added that PM to inspect the orifices, which that joint, which is the joint connecting the connection with the shaft,
yes.
The gate with the shaft. It hasn't been, it wasn't inspected for many years. It's just a pin. There's a couple of pins there. And it's quite a job, actually, I discovered, because the entire orifice assembly is much larger than this kind of indicate, that the name would indicate. There's actually a large area, there's cover plates around the orifice covering it, so to be able to gain access, you have to unbolt those large covers and stuff, so that takes entire day for a mechanic supported by a crane crew, because he works from a main basket inside the slot. So that's what we are, we started doing that on the first unit, main unit 12, to be able to look at the condition of those of that connection.
Okay. First time you've done that?
Pardon?
Is this the first time you've done that?
Yeah.
These orifices?
This is the new stuff because before nobody looked at that, thing at all. It was there for in place for what, 20 some years.
You sent out some drawings of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Last month or whatever it was.
And we were also proposing, we're still working on the concept of true gate position indicator.
Right.
And however, I guess we were hoping that we would get a prototype installed on 12. I have to double check on that one, if that's going to be possible or not. It's just welding an additional rod, which will go alongside of the.
So they don't. Yeah, I know, but they don't know that it's possible. And I thought we were had kind of gotten.
Well,
to the point
we need
that
to still need to work out the engineering details. It might not be possible to do on that first unit 12, and then we'd like to test it for some period of time after it's installed, the prototype, and then implement on all orifices.
So in the meantime, what we need to do is make sure those connections are all sound and that you have new bolts in place so that those things don't fall
apart. But it's going to be a slow process because that can only happen when the unit is in the water.
Right.
And so before we catch up, it's going to be errors with the backlog.
By that time, the ones you looked at earlier.
Well, this is the second failure in the last, what, 30 years or something like that. Except now it would be happening more frequently because...
Pretty serious failure. So is there a better way to, or is there a way that we can inspect those orifices? I haven't been in that channel. I mean, I remember
yes,
when they built it. But
I have to verify because somebody just pointed out that we can see through the tube where the light is going.
That's what I've heard.
I think somebody in my crew indicated that this is feasible.
That's what I heard from
somebody. I haven't seen it myself yet, but we got the new LED lights. So
let's find out about that, and maybe that's a new part that goes into the fish passage plan as a required inspection.
Yes, weekly or
weekly
maybe
or whatever
daily.
Or daily. Yeah, I would say
during the season, the height of season.
We do it at Bonneville daily.
Yes.
Okay. Let's at least look at the feasibility of that.
Yes. I agree.
That would help. Maybe we don't need to have the other stuff if you can actually see it.
That might be the best. This is indeed true that you can see clearly the position of the
air. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Merrill.
All right. So then John Day North AWS pumps.
No change as far as I know. The contract is ongoing. I think it's pump four. And we still got four pumps available. We don't need that many now, actually, so there's more than enough to last us through the season. And the larger pump issue,
has any work been going on?
They're pending.
Nothing? So,
well, there were some modifications and the repair of pump four, which is in hand of the contract.
You guys haven't accepted those.
This is a contractor thing, and it's still the Portland District Engineering and contractors.
Natalie's still involved with that.
I'm finishing that product, so it's going to be in working condition like it's supposed to be.
Okay. Still in your guys' shop?
Yeah, we'll have it on the next bit of week.
Okay.
Are you in charge of scheduling that, John?
Bitterwing? Actually, Sean Backley is there.
Is he now the Bitterwing? The group is SRWG and Fitterway?
Yeah.
Kick him for us when we get back to the office.
I'll give you my Fitterway update here in a minute.
Have we evolved into
Fitterway? Or are we on it?
We're on it.
Okay, so.
That's why I was asking. I followed the agenda. Unlike some people.
the AFF project we had here with the F-POM subcommittee, we had a report that went out to the F-POM subcommittee for comment, and the NOAA provided comments. We're responding to those comments, and we should have a final report out to F-POM and Fitterway pretty soon. FGE, I talked with Randy Epsilon this morning, putting together the data tables for us to look at, and I would like to schedule a special Fitterway at the least. I'm looking at the dates of August 25th and 26th to doodle.
I will be there.
27th is wall-to-wall of Fitterway. So
oh, is it?
People might be driving on the 26th.
Yeah, next week is AFS. And so then I was also looking at September 8th through the 10th, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I can make that work.
F-bomb. When's the next F-bomb?
10th of September.
Okay. It's the 10th of September.
Yes, that Thursday.
Okay, so maybe the 8th or the 9th.
In the afternoon,
you
the one
that maybe. I will be in Minnesota.
Maybe after F-POM?
Yeah.
Since we already have
I think we're doing condition monitoring after F-POM, but I'd say Tuesday. How does the 8th work?
Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon.
Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon, either one of those should work
fine. Is condition monitoring mandated that long?
That depends on what people say.
You know, we've had a couple responses, right, since that we haven't really talked about since that last condition monitoring.
I hate to push it too far into September.
No, just
we want the
Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon work for you, Gary?
No, I won't be. I'm almost all of September. I think there's 1 week in there that I'm going to be around.
Are you going to be there for
the most critical one.
So, will you be here for the September?
I'll catch up when you guys get back.
I need to send the tables out.
To 10th.
So, I don't remember. The 25th of August?
I have if it works for Gary, do it, and I'll just look at it when I get back.
Okay.
Maybe in probation that August.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make it nice for you.
September
27th. Thursday.
I will be gone.
I will be
this week I'll be back.
This Thursday?
I'm gone from that. I'm driving straight from Canada to the Walla Walla meeting, so. Or Mississippi.
Oh, yeah, there's the Mississippi.
That
trip. I haven't gotten
that
on
yet. This seems a good way to go. So, it's sliding too late for me.
So, what about the 25th, Gary?
Yeah, I think I was going to go that day.
25th?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, okay. I don't have my calendar. Right off the bat.
The
only thing I think that would be on your calendar would be that Inland Avian.
Inland Avian.
Is that on the 25th?
Yeah, that's what day I think.
Okay, that's what David set up.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It says one. It's only expected to last an hour, it looked like.
Yeah, so it was one to two.
Oh, so maybe in the morning.
The morning is still open.
FPAC is in the morning. Yeah.
On the 25th?
Yes.
Yes. But you could do it at, I don't know, 11.
11 or
11 to 1. I mean, I don't think you're going to take that long to talk about it, are you?
I don't think so.
I don't care. Someone's going to be in Canada, so you guys do whatever you want.
Oh, wow. What was it?
Hell no. That's your new one free day of taking
2 hours on the 25th between 11 and 1.
Would you like me to put that on the calendar?
Well, pencil it in. I'll talk to the PDT.
So, Tom, you're gone on that day.
25th, 26th.
You're going to be in Canada?
Yes,
across the border.
I'm out here in the garden and everything.
Doug's going to call me to make sure I can't get back in.
Tom, are you around second week of September?
That's what I need to get the travel board to see if I can go.
For the
urgent trip.
Is it urgent? No, that's third week.
That's third week?
Yeah, that's 21st.
Second week
before the 21st.
I'm back pretty much end of August.
We're both going to be in the office.
Yeah.
So that week September meeting.
It's the week before the 21st, whatever that is. She's trying to say 7 minus 21. She's trying to be delicate about it. I'm not so.
Well, I'll work on this with the PDT and we'll get some dates up. Yeah, pull you guys. So you're going to show us some results then?
Yeah.
They're going to have a table.
They'll have a table.
Randy's confirming all the, he's got all the 5-minute ops data, confirming all the operations for each day, each unit, through the test period.
Okay. Shouldn't be that
missing
long.
Missing fish and all.
What's that?
Missing fish and all.
Missing fish and all.
So he's not going to have that stuff ready until then? Is that the issue?
Well, he's working on it right now. He's hoping to have something to meet soon, like today, maybe. I don't know if he'll have all the options.
How about next week?
Maybe. Well, it's AFS next week. Maybe we can try to schedule it around.
Noah doesn't get to go to AFS, so they don't care.
I think it's done.
Only 4 of them are here.
Only if we sneak in.
We can talk about next week.
I'm not going to AFS. Early next week, we're fine for me.
Okay.
Monday, Tuesday, every day. We're taking Tuesday. We don't have FPAC is canceled for Tuesday, so if you want to do Tuesday, go ahead.
Let's do it next week.
Tuesday
let's
morning.
Let's talk about it. I don't care what he's got. Let's just talk about it. We'll sit down and go through it. I know he's got some stuff, so.
Well, let me see. Sooner
the better. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Tuesday 9 o'clock.
Let's try to do it.
Tuesday 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Because we're taking an FPAC holiday.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
Actually, I thought we were going to be on Monday.
We'll see what we can do Friday.
Yeah, do Monday. I don't care. Pick your day.
So Monday, Tuesday,
right, any other Bitterwig update?
No.
You guys.
That is it.
So, RCC?
Yes.
Get your bingo cards out.
All right, super low flows in the Snake. Not too bad in the Columbia, though. So the Snake looked pretty bleak yesterday's. Average outflow from Lower Granite was 20.7. Forecast at 5 days out and 10 days out is at 22.
The peak is a whopping 24, right around the 14th of August. McNary, yesterday 145.3, 5 days forecasted to be at 132, down to 122, 10 days out, and the peak of 137 right around the 18th and 19th of August. Bonneville, yesterday's average 130.4, forecasted in 5 days to be at 133, and 10 days at 128. I put 228, but that's not right. 128.
Which one?
Yeah,
that's
an outlier.
Teasing us again.
The forecasted peak is 137 on August 19th. So Lower Columbia's not looking too bad, being propped up by Cooley, and the snake is bleak.
So is that Canada, or is that just Cooley?
Oh, yeah, Canada.
It's Canada.
But it comes up.
Yeah, because Arrow's up to 80K right now.
Do you have September?
No pipelines.
I don't. I mean, I could look at this.
Close the road, right? No. There'll be a pretty big drop between August and September.
That's what nice to see.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Keep it moving. Lamprey updates. I don't see Nate in the room.
He must have stepped out. Hey, Bjorn, are you on the phone? Maybe we can draw him in.
I am.
First.
I'm here.
All right. Why don't we do the pin pad update first, if that's all right?
Yep.
Okay. So this is Bjorn. Last time I gave an update for Pinnipeds, FPOM was back in the June meeting, which we were looking at data that was just finished for the season, so we hadn't done all our kind of expansions for missed hours. So I have kind of the final numbers for this 2015 field season. So basically 2015, Salmonid passage at Bonneville Dam for January 1st to May 31st was 239,000 fish. Our expanded consumption estimate for pinnipeds was 9,981 salmonids consumed, which equates with 4% of the run. If you factor in unknown fish catches, where you partition them amongst the known observed fish catches for that particular time period, we call the adjusted consumption estimate. That raises the number to 10,859 salmonids, which is 4.3% of the run. So on average, between 2002 and 2014, pinnipeds consumed 3,416 salmonids, which is on average 2.2% of the run. So we're obviously higher this year. If you look at Chinook, like the spring Chinook run individually, for that time, for the Chinook passage from January 1st to June 15th was 283,696 fish. Pinnipeds consumed 9,780 of those fish, which equates with 3.3% of the run. Sturgeon was low this year. We estimate that pinnipeds consumed 39 white sturgeon. The average from 2006 to 2014 was 1,086 fish consumed. Pacific lamprey, we estimate they consumed 196 Pacific lamprey. The average between 2002 and 2014 is 242. Also, update on the California sea lions that are in the forebay presently. We are seeing one large California sea lion that is branded regularly using the forebay trap. We also saw, I think last week, we saw two pinnipeds at the same time in the forebay, so we know we at least have two near Bonneville Dam. The states, ODFNW does plan to trap here in the near future. It kind of keeps them pushed back. Their most recent time frame I heard was that they're probably going to try to trap in late September. So that's the main update for this for right now.
And so, Bjorn, when you say trap, are you talking about in the forebay?
Yeah, in the forebay. Yeah. So they have one trap that ODF&W moved from the tail race at the very end of the season, so like late May. So the trap's been up in the forebay since then, and they were able to trap that one sea lion right off the bat, and they ended up moving him back down to the ocean. So we still have the one sea lion using the trap almost every day. He's seen up there a lot, so they're hoping to trap him. They just have to kind of find time to actually do it.
Because, as you mentioned there, I think that we're starting to see some individuals in the tail race.
We're getting reports that there are a few sea lions showing up in the tail race already.
Last
few days. Most likely Stellars. I haven't seen any myself.
Okay.
The big ones is reported.
But it's not uncommon for this time of year to have a couple of Stellars pop up in August. So hopefully we'll be able to actually lay our eyes on them ourselves and give you more information next time around. But looking back through last year's data, we definitely had, you know, sea lions here. We basically had Stellars here in August. Mm-hmm. But it was only like, you know, one or two, and then it starts picking up in September.
Shark are showing up. I mean, there's the numbers going up.
Yeah.
See, the numbers are going up and down.
We'll definitely start. Well, I mean, it, usually this time of year, what you'll see is a bunch of the cute animals from years past. So pretty soon we'll know who's around because they'll start showing up every day.
So based on what happened this last year with record numbers of Stellars, and they're already showing up now, is it appropriate, I mean, we're charged with collecting information, right, and moving that information. Is it appropriate to get the task put together and review the data that was collected this last year, because there were a lot of changes this year and some unexpected changes, as well as we have a postdoc from UCLA, Zach Schechner, who's done a bunch of modeling to get some new information. If we wait until APEP to show these data, in terms of actions and planning, you're so far down the road. You're already in the next year. So I personally think it's appropriate to get the task group together. I would suggest to review the information, review the new modeling work that Zach has done, and start planning a way forward, or at least trying to map out potential ways forward.
His modeling work is what? It's behavior work?
Well, and what he's done is he's done a lot of kind of network analysis and with these bachelor pods. And so he's got some really interesting, pretty powerful results that Kay presented. He'd like to share it with the region. He plans on doing it at AFEP after we present our data, the monitoring data. But is again, that's December.
That's okay. Yeah, I think it's appropriate. We could get together and talk that through. Next year is going to be, there's potential for really big oncology disaster, I guess, but I can see that the jack counts for this year for spring Chinook are very low. So if we see a low run of Chinook and high presence of sea lions, it could be much more than 4.3%. That would be off the charts, so at least compared to what we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
Could be the worst ever. What are we going to do? But, you know, the problem is if it's Stellars, it's going to take probably more than just one day to get through the
Yeah, if I can interject something here, I mean, I think one of the biggest shortcomings right now for the whole entire kind of pinniped issue at Bonneville Dam is mostly the lack of marking of Stellars, so branding of some sort.
Yeah.
It's just the numbers this year were definitely pretty large, but we were unable to really keep track. I mean, the states obviously did a ton of work.
Yeah, we've heard that.
California's, so.
We've heard that from you before, too, Bjorn. So I understand that. I think that's something that we need to get out there to folks, is this what's needed and why, you know, potential problem that we see coming up next year. So, yeah, let's get together.
It makes sense. We've got these young bachelors recruiting to the population that are migrating up here, learning from the older individuals.
We need to start sooner than later.
Just
Shouldn't we also have somebody that's actually doing the trapping come to that?
That's why I think a task group is.
Yeah, right, that on. Does have
that could have been a task group.
ODFW involved.
Who writes the permit for that? The requirement that they have to be seen four times and they have to be branded.
I think that's us.
So you guys,
that's our
car. Is there any chance you could take ones that don't have a brand on? Have like two here that.
For California's? I think Stellar is going to be the real issue.
I think it has to be clearly identified.
Yeah.
But is.
Is something else applicable to that?
Well, is there a way to get to where you have a few that don't? Because some of these can go to actually zoos or places. They don't want them with the brand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think if you can say 2 a year can go without marks or something, but I don't know who to suggest that to.
Removable tattoos.
But they really don't like, I've gone to visit a few of them around the country, and that's their biggest complaint.
Somebody
they don't
like
the brand up.
Brand them on the butt?
That's not natural. People don't always ask. They changed the one in the Chicago Zoo to number one.
So they rebranded him?
I think so. He's really skinny now. I visited him a couple of times. Is that the same one?
I'm kind of thinking that's not the biggest part of our problem.
That's
But I know the SeaWorld and the Chicago Aquarium both were voicing concerns that they would take more if they didn't have rent.
Yeah, if we could do something to increase the interest in groups taking these.
Right, but I didn't know
who
to give that to, so.
Yeah, I'll ask.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, as long as it's not lethal.
And Humane Society.
What's that?
And Humane Society.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to get past the first, so we're not doing anything with Stellars. We're not.
Not yet.
Whether it's branded or not, that's not the issue. We're just not able to take any Stellars.
Well, with this information, it's definitely going to...
Yeah.
We'll be interested to get that moving.
Yeah. Thank you.
Or do you listen?
Lamprey.
Ready for Lamprey?
Tammy?
So, for the Lamprey update, I wanted to try to just kind of focus in on an issue that's flared up this year. We've seen this in the past a little bit, and it's the difficulty of counting lamprey at night, specifically at Bonneville Dam. You guys have probably heard over time there's a lot of up and down movement of lamprey there. And when I thought about that and heard about it in the past, I thought about kind of more like salmonid up and down movement. But of course, lamprey are not salmonids. It's a lot more than up and down movement. It's really fish hanging the fish way. It's fish moving up and back. It's fish going sideways diagonal at depth. It's a much more dynamic thing to try to analyze. And so what we're seeing this year, if we look at the window counts at Bonneville, if you add it up over the 24-hour period, so the daytime and nighttime counts, mostly what people see is just the daytime counts. They're generally positive. It looks kind of like a normal year. If you look at the nighttime counts, especially by the hour, there's a kind of a new 24-hour query at the very bottom of the Corps webpage. And it's divided by ladder. And what you'll see is there's a lot of large negative nighttime counts, sometimes negative 1,000 in an hour. Cool. So there's that's been going on. I think a lot of people in the room probably know about that. Raise your hand if this is new news. So
it's a bulk for people.
You know, 1,000 an hour, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
So it's going in the wrong direction.
What it's really indicative of me is if you do see fish moving upstream past the other dams, you see fish moving through the LPS systems, there's probably some recycling issue there that we're trying to address. And so the bigger issue, though, is kind of a couple issues. It's fish moving through the slot, and it's also trying to improve count accuracy at the slot. So we met internally yesterday, and I brought this up at the Lamprey Corps work group as well. And I've just developed a table I'm going to pass out of sort of problems, potential solutions, and sort of maybe some complications of those. I just wanted the opponent to be aware of this and provide comment if they think it's appropriate.
And this is going to be the Lamprey Test Group.
You're
taking this in the Lamprey Test Group?
The Accords Group, yes. That's what.
Otherwise, it's going to be handed to Brian back over. So.
Sure. He hasn't seen this more formalized yet, but he's aware.
I will send him a message.
You have some Lamprey tag with the full duplex and half duplex. Have you seen any patterns that fish? Individuals moving up and back on a repeated basis?
We don't have core projects going on this year, so okay. There's no tip tag lamprey being released below Bonneville Dam that you might detect.
Okay.
There is Warm Springs, you have a project releasing some fish upwards in the forest.
Okay.
Good. So I try to kind of divide them. Well, oftentimes the two issues sort of get confounded because they sort of belong in a lot of groups. So you'll notice the upper block is this fish movement. So that's trying to get fish to move smoothly through the slot. It deals with things like recycling, potentials for recycling, trying to create laminar flow through the slot. And then it also talks about what's directly upstream, especially at Bonneville, the serpentine weir section. Large portion of lamprey that are radio tagged, 30-40%, once they hit that serpentine weir section, go back downstream. So that would be a legitimate downstream movement that we want to try to detect. And there's things like some kind of lighting. This is more of a daytime issue, fish swimming in the sun and then going into shadow through the slot and then back into the sun. And then below that is things that really kind of focus more on count accuracy. And I know it's complicated. I know it's the first time maybe that you've seen this table. I think a lot of people have heard about these issues over time and just want people to realize we're getting some traction on that. There's a Lamprey Miter Mods PDT that is currently set up and going. Sean Packley's the tech rep there. And some of these smaller issues, they're going to try to tackle. So, for example, this very first issue, lamprey moving underneath the Crowder brush, possible recycling route. Ben Hausman told me on the way in, yeah, we're going to look into that in the water period. We're going to, improve those brushes and see what we can do there. They've already, the Crowders themselves have picketed leads as well, and the picket lead size has already been reduced there from 1 inch to 3/4 inch, so that should exclude fish. So it's kind of a complicated situation. What's really interesting to me is this bizarre, huge, negative, downward nighttime movement. When I look over the past 4 or 5 years, it all looked fine. It was kind of generally positive, a couple negative movements here and there. In 2007 and 8, we hired the University of Idaho to look at the feasibility of nighttime counting of lamprey. And especially in 2008, they saw the same thing. Their overall estimate for lamprey movement at Bonneville was like negative 90,000, which is about where we're at right now. When I look at kind of all my sources together, I look at the daytime window counts, the nighttime window counts, and the LPS passage, I end up with a net negative movement. So not necessarily entirely possible. I said fish are moving up past the Dalles and John Day. So
you don't know.
To me, it indicates there's a major recycling issue, yeah.
Yeah, I saw John's stuff. I mean, that's amazing. The variability between counters.
Yeah. I guess that was
negative. It's like,
sure.
Well,
wow.
And if any of you have seen this video, I'm working on getting some of this video posted.
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
Especially at night. When the lamprey comes to the consulate, it can be what people refer to as chaos. Up and downstream movements. This may be part of the thing we're looking at is with taking the fish away to the dark at night, right? Removing the halogen lights. We've got some video we're posting on there too where we've got lights on. You see it altering fish behavior. When you go dark in the fish way, you see a real reduction in that up and downstream movement from a lot of the somatids that are in there. We saw some sockeye as well as shad and other species. So I think, there's multiple factors at play here. One of the things is using lights at night to count fish. It's probably not a great thing on behavior.
But we need the lights for video.
We're working on that. We've talked about this a little bit. This team, we're posting some of the video work.
Yeah.
We're getting closer. We've got some test examples
that
will be available on the TMT webpage that show the fish weigh in a much darker condition with just infrared above looking down and the internal light on in the room. One of the things, as I mentioned the last FOM, when we position the infrared lights, we position them looking down. If we were thinking about this, I kind of think more in a visible light spectrum, how visible light expands, where with infrared, it's more of a beam, right? And so now we have some issues with the lights, but we're repositioning them to look with the sidebars, looking across at the fish as they migrate through, so you'd be lighting the fish up with infrared as they come through. We're also, right now, we're using 750 nanometers as the wavelength right now. We're going to use a little bit of red light. We're thinking to expand that wavelength to maybe 860 as well.
In the visible spectrum.
Yep. On the edge of the visible spectrum.
On the edge. Right.
One thing we don't want to do is, I really believe, is when you see the video, start showing it, when you light up that the count station, it affects behavior, especially for a nocturnal migrating species, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think this issue is beyond just that.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why that's why it kind of keeps popping up. It's a little bit nebulous. It sits in several different groups, and so it's kind of hard. Like, there's different people who can attack pieces of it, and I think that's how it's probably going to get done, is a piece at a time. I think that over the last few years, kind of refine some of these problems and potential solutions.
So, Nathan, is this your exhaustive list, or is this just the list of...
No, that's kind of the first crack, you know, that's what we talk about internally a lot. And if you have more things to add to it, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing those.
All right. But it is a list that came together through the collaborative group, or is it just...
Mostly the core. So this is myself, Greg Moody sitting down, John Dalen, who's been involved in accounts for a long time, Bob Wertheimer, Sean Hackley. I just ran past Ben this morning. Any real red flags there?
So what's the path forward here? I mean, if you do a piecemeal, it's going to be messy. Is there a group that's kind of collaborating?
Well, there's a minor mods PDT group that could look at improvements to that.
That's a core thing, though. Is there a regional group that you're proposing to sit down and work through this stuff? Or, I mean, there's a lot. You got Fitterwig, you got FBOM,
right?
SCT. If there's
I started that final column. I started to kind of identify those.
I know, but if you piecemeal it, it'll get messy. You don't have one entity.
Well, I think it's the invisible group. It's the Lamprey work group that we don't have any contact with. It really is in their forum because they take the Accords money and work it through that work group. And, you know, that's the play. And I guess this is out of my lane because it's Portland District.
Okay.
But I thought that at Bonneville some of the LPS stuff was being fine-tuned to try to address this early on as well. And it sounds like there's still issues. Am I incorrect on that?
Trying to fine-tune.
The serpentine weir issue as well seems to be something that's conflicting this. It's not just your lights, it's also just the physical environment.
So that the location of the count station is one of the things we identify. And so what's going to happen at the next water works period, we'll be cutting a couple of slots at Bradford Island to see if that helps Lamprey move through the serpentine weir section. The big concern there is, of course, some monitored interactions. We've got video monitoring stuff.
So I think to bridge your question, Gary, are you providing us the update like when the Lamprey work group makes a recommendation on this problem path forward just to be aware? Because it's more like you're bringing the problem here and yet it's not really like we're a place that we act on it. So,
yeah, true.
And I think it was really, and the first thing is just making sure we're being transparent that we're seeing a problem.
Right,
and here it's not like we're turning our back on it. There's definitely a problem here. We want to make sure the region's aware and everybody's tracking, because if you look at this, if you go to our Fish Counts webpage, it gets very down deep.
Yeah.
If you're not looking at those specific things, you're not going to be tracking
that. That's the FOM link, I think, is the count issue that it provides.
Well, you've got a count issue, you've got a passage issue, both here. You've got a laundry list of issues that may help those. Some are going to be very expensive, and some are going to have issues with salmon. So.
Especially how you pull all this together.
You're changing the vertical, the slots and stuff, and the flow control. Then I'm very interested. Or putting a new count station in above the flow control section. That means it's up there in the channel somewhere. That's going to be expensive. So, because you have to modify it in the water work period and all that kind of stuff. It's not possible. But there's coordination, so.
This is kind of a brainstorming list. I didn't want to put too many barriers on the first go around.
Yeah.
So is the video work that you're doing now, is this just part of a feasibility, or is it part of a larger quantitative study to look at passage rates?
Sure, the importance of the night counting of lamprey is huge. Being more nocturnal, more than tend to pass at night. So the count program itself, and that kind of program is a subsection of that, is ongoing. We plan to continue doing that. This is the support of our Fish Accords Agreement, which calls on the Corps to give more precision to their lamprey counts.
So is this something you will bring to this group on a regular basis? And is this like a monthly update, do you think? Or as you guys start to fine-tune your approach?
Probably as these things come to the surface, but not like the point where it's not
all
coordinated
with things here. Some are going to interfere with others, and so you're going to have to think about that and then pull out items that you would want. Yeah.
And this is kind of, again, FYI, there's an issue, transparent, and we're brainstorming, there's a lot of expertise in this room. The region, we come together and we solve problems, right? And so there may be things that we're missing out that others can bring to the table. So I just, you know, as part of the update, we're brainstorming, we're working through a variety of issues, and then I'm just coming to grips with how the whole Lamprey program is kind of shifting. So it is more, I think, of an update, and I think it's looking for feedback as well.
Well, some of these are fairly simple, and you know, I think as you bring them forward, we're going to be able to deal with them, and some are going to be very, very complex and have significant impact with LIDAR itself. So those are going to be handled in another firm.
You know, Fish and Wildlife Services involved the whole way work group too. That's separate from this, aren't they?
There's a lot of gray. There's a lot of gray. We're not formally a part of the court stuff, so there's some shadows there. And I'm still figuring it all out, as most of us are.
I can just say, as it gels, can't hear you.
All right.
Yeah. Let's do something about it, but I don't know, you know, you guys are the experts on the count stuff, so.
Shut the lights off.
You've got some lights issues, you've got that bubbler, you know, groove, that place where they're hiding out. It's just being able to see them in the window is one problem. So you think you can resolve it. You need to resolve the ability to actually see them and count. And then there's the up and down, the sideways and stuff. That could be more hydraulics than anything else, and that's going to be big fixes, so we'll have to work on that out in multiple forms.
I think the fact that there's even a bubbler, if there was a bubbler there to chase lamprey off the window so they could see. The more I learn about lamprey, the more that's indicative of a problem area. Lamprey tend to pile up, there's a problem upstream, right? Yeah. So there's a reason they were hunkering down there.
Yeah, the lights.
It's got to be the lights. It's got to be the lights.
It seems like there could, I think Ann was talking about, a better nexus to talk about lamprey information. Various groups talking and sometimes you get information from one group, so I don't know what the solution is, but because there are cords, I think there has to be some separation. But
seems like a good update for now. So I guess as you have more, you're going to bring it back, and then I don't know if this has any implications outside with what we have ongoing for a new adult fish count contract would be the only thing that I would say. So if you think that there's some implications that we need to be talking about here, you should bring that to the next meeting.
It might come down to the method of counting. Maybe we move to a distance at the end of the raceway or the tail out, you know. At the
exit or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the exit, that was something that, I think it was 3 years ago now, was the last time I went to an AFIP, but there was some preliminary data on that, and then people didn't think it was as feasible as some of the other, but it's a pretty low-cost overall method, and what we're really after reliably is a good count leaving each facility. Where you have individual problems, I see that more as a, it's either O&M or research. We've got to develop that. That's a little bit outside of the count contract. The count contract just needs a reliable count.
Yeah, these are more O&M and whatever funding source,
So anyway,
it's an interesting list. It's kind of what do you want us to do with this?
Well, we have some potential solutions there. If you see stuff, you see things that are red flags to you and that you never want to see go forward.
No, I won't say that. It's just red flags.
Red flags.
They mean yellow.
Green?
But contrary flags, red flags is
orange. We prefer yellow flags.
So red flags, that means yellow.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yes, thank you, Nathan. Do you have an avian update?
Flashing red.
There's an upcoming avian meeting. The thing was it? Siri mentioned.
Yeah.
For avian, one question. I haven't had a chance to look. Nero, went past John Day the other day, and I've never seen so many pelicans in that tail race.
Yeah.
How many are you guys looking at?
Over 300.
300.
The population.
Holy cow.
Exploding. However, the good news is that they've been there for quite a while. They used to play all over the area.
Right.
And for the main part of the fish passage season, they didn't really focus on the tail race.
Now it's the shad.
Extent. It only started that
orientation
was our tail race started with the juvenile shad. So that's what they definitely after. Before, again, they were sitting at the islands and getting whatever was coming by.
quite a far.
Right.
I hear we're missing a $250,000 sockeye, maybe that's it.
That's,
They're just the cleanup crew.
They are the cleanup crew. They definitely are cleaning up anything that's dying sockeye.
No, I would not doubt that they are taking some adult sockeye when they get them.
That will spit them out. There's that one area, as you know, Oregon Shore to the island, and that's where they use them today.
It was, they were spread. I mean, it was interesting. It was like a shotgun pattern of white pellets out there, white birds, big white birds.
Yeah. Well, they were in Crater Lake on Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there were three there. But there were about,
Gary, do you happen to know if there is a local breeding colony of the white pelicans? Where is it here?
It's up at Badger Island, and then there's a pretty good colony down on the estuary at Miller Sand Spit.
Okay.
Have they started to breed there?
Yeah. Oh yeah, big time, hundreds of them now. But those are the only two I know of in there.
Next.
Nothing on the Yakima.
There's your issues. I don't know about that. Yeah, that's different. That's further out. Further out.
What's that? Get a bunch of pelicans on Friday.
Fly though.
Not there.
Yeah.
Unless they decide to. There's an island.
Oh,
there's
a bridge right here, right in front of
the island. There's like 30,000 farmers or
something. I think they want to
use the corners for paint.
Those explorers, like they used to be in the old days.
Yeah, but we saw a few years ago, we saw a couple show up at Miller Sand Spit, now we have hundreds nesting, so they can start a colony pretty easy.
So keep moving, Tammy.
Yes.
EPA updates.
I do have some. Thank you, Tom, for bringing some out.
Chair.
Yes. Unfortunately, more than I was hoping for.
Look at this thing.
Yeah. So this is normally what I get. I've been off for a few days, so I haven't been able to get stuff to you. But the ones I wanted to bring to your attention, the 2nd of September, we need to run units 1, 2, 9, and 10 at the first powerhouse. At Bonneville. So we'll be almost into or into split flow at that time. It's after spill, so I originally thought it was just one unit, but they were asking for all four units to be on.
1, 2, 9, and 10.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a huge problem, but I wanted to at least bring your attention because we may not, the 2nd of September. We may or may not be to the 30,000 trigger.
Right. It's a little early for that.
So any problems with that? I mean, I've been fending off all these requests to do the work on the transmission lines for the 115. So they're stacking up, waiting for spill to end, and have the ability to run, split flows. So I told them push them into September because we're going to get into split flow.
Well, and units run over there about at that time of year. What is that? It's going to be like about 50% of flow, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's about half. Mm-hmm. So it's semi-premature split flow, maybe depending if the fish are early or late.
It's not the best for juveniles, as we know.
So in September,
but you shut down spills, so that's a primary passage at that point.
And it's just one day?
Yeah.
Just one day?
Yeah.
I was just curious. I didn't hear what you said the reason for that was.
They're doing line work.
Line work?
Yeah. The 115 KV system runs off units 1, 2, 9, 10, and we haven't run that powerhouse all summer and all spring almost. So they've really backlogged a bunch of stuff to get done in September. Because I told them I could probably get this to happen when we're doing the split flows. So they've moved that one into that time period. There's another one that needs a single unit, looks like on the 8th through the 11th. But we should be well into split flow by then. Yeah, so that shouldn't be a problem. Another one on the 10th. But those are the main ones. And of course, there's the Bonneville North T1, T1 or T11 or T12. One of the transformers is going out starting on the 1st.
Yeah, for the powerhouse too.
Right. So half that powerhouse will be out, so we probably have to run. Some of the other site.
Yeah, we need that, so, yeah.
So you'll have a lot of, you'll have generation. Because of that, that should take care of a lot of my problems. Moving in September worked pretty good. And that's the only one, that's the main one. Okay. There's a couple of these other ones I have to get moved around or changed. Some of the requests from transmission are
so you have a coordination for that. Something official.
Normally, what I do is I prune this form down and do that. The 115 ones, it looks like because we have the transformer already out of service, it really won't make much of an impact. So we're good on those.
Just probably that first one with those four units that should probably have a coordination form.
That may not need it because this might be on because the transformer goes up the day before. So when we take out the four units, the second powerhouse, you're going to have to run the first powerhouse.
He's running the T11.
I am trying to do that too.
The T11.
The T11 outage is going to force
the power. It covers that you don't have to, but if you have to, if it's separate, then.
Yeah.
Just thought.
Right, no,
FGs and costs.
Yes, I just forgot how many have now fallen because we're doing the T11.
So you can notify us? Get a notification on this?
Well, I'm going to ask Doug if he can
take look at the EPA and how adaptable they are.
Humor, Doug.
Excellent. You can see steam coming out of his ears over there.
So that looks like the only major one. If I sort through the pile and find another one, I'll let you guys know.
Okay.
Having forgot we had the main transformer out pushing water over there.
Yeah, that's not going to matter much.
Yeah.
So all these others, are they also Bonneville?
No, I got Bonneville, Vidal, Big Eddie. I got Sifton Line. I got the Chief Joseph, Laura Granite, Dorshack. What I try to do is normally I get one of these. It's called a 45-day outage. Prints out really terribly, like Tom found out. And I go through and I take off the ones that don't look like they're going to impact us. And then provide you with the ones that are potential impacts.
So I didn't
have time to sift through it and break
out
the list.
From your opinion so far, the one that stands out is the Bonneville.
Correct. And even that doesn't now because we had already coordinated
the days before. So now you wish you hadn't set away.
Exactly. I'm fine.
So now I want coordination formed on
all of them. Yeah. For each one of us.
Each airplane is the cascade lock.
So you good? You done? Okay. So move into coordination notification forms needing concurrence.
All right. Any comments on any of the Bonneville MFRs? 54 through 69.
I do have a comment. No.
A little less than last year.
Comments?
Chief Joe MFR, I do have a comment.
I'll be on the change form about saying please put salmon or lamprey in the title.
It says
it
in the title usually.
I haven't looked recently.
Oh, so you went changes without looking.
I'm just giving you a hard time. You just said you wanted comments, so there you go.
That's right.
So
all right, how about
it's more than one species?
It was in the title.
It's more than one species, right? Yeah. I think that's what we call it.
Yeah, it's abbreviated, but then if you go to the website, I spell it out, so you can figure it out. Any comments on the Dalles MFRs?
Yes.
What?
No.
No comments. All right. We have a revised Dalles Railroad rail removal. Did you all get a chance to look at that?
I have looked at it, and I don't agree with parts of it. The approach over the top of the fishway and adjacent to the fishway, since we know it's not right on top of it by nature. That section was the new section that you added. And you're talking about doing that section in July, and it is over the top of the exit of the east ladder.
Doesn't change.
Got all kinds of red on it.
I don't know.
No, the railroad went from winter maintenance to the summer.
It went from winter to summer, and they were looking at needing two weeks, sometime within July, between July and November. And I asked that they put it on the first week of August, put it around there.
Yeah. The intake deck I was okay with. Con had some comments on sluiceway operation. We were good at that.
Right.
But it's that this approach section that goes over the top of the east ladder exit.
Right, the east ladder exit.
That was a new one.
Correct.
And that's the one I'm concerned about. And that was, you folks say in here, July through November, you're choosing the first 2 weeks of July. I would say let's choose the
first 2 weeks of August. Does it say July in there? First week's of
July? July through November.
Sometime within that window, they need 2 weeks.
Right, and I would say let's do it later then. That's the approach, that's the second bullet, and it says July through, and it'd be the first 2 weeks, I think, was what was being chosen. I spread that somewhere else in here. And I say, I don't know about that. That's not a good time.
That may have been changed since the last call, because the last call I asked that avoid July if you can, sockeye,
right,
and try to,
that's
if you
my
only need
concern.
The 2 weeks, you prefer to be the first 2 weeks of August.
Or do it in November. I mean, the window was August, was July through November.
Was it through November?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
it says July through November, and I thought, well, if nighttime work, 2 weeks or less. I realize it's night, but it's still, you know, sockeye pass at night as well as day. We've had that issue. I'd rather see us move that clear out of the fish passage season as much as possible, just given the importance of that ladder and the fact that we have these issues. And this supposed to be another, who knows, next year, but it could be another situation like this year. So.
Okay.
I think I
was thinking it was going to, it was through like November 1 was their window, but okay.
Okay, well then that's, yeah,
but
even,
not,
even late October.
I misread it.
Nighttime work and at that time of the year, I wouldn't worry about.
Late October?
Late the season, I wouldn't worry about it. It's just that time of year, I mean, that's, I don't know.
If you could, I'd push into October, November. I would prefer that's an option.
Yeah, so that's it. That's the only thing. Yep. That one just caught my attention. Otherwise, yeah, we're fine. We're already coordinating the rest of it.
Okay.
I don't see anything else there that's really an issue. But that is really, I mean, you're right on top of the fishway exit. Plus, you run next to it.
Right.
It's above it. I realize that. But noise, I don't know how much noise that's going to be. But I imagine taking those rails out, it's not going to be quiet.
Right.
A lot of rattling around going on there. So if they can do it. If they can't, then let's talk some more. But,
okay. Yeah. Then I got to worry about
bullshit. You're still on the rail one. Right?
No.
Oh.
No.
Sorry.
Actually, no, it'll be Lamprey.
I'm not going to speak to that. I'll let Joe do that.
Night passage of Lamprey and Slider. That would probably cause us some consternation.
Yeah. In July, at least, and early, maybe even early August.
Yeah, but they can't hear anything.
I don't know.
Snakes can't either, but they can feel.
It makes the vibration issue even more important.
Yeah. Can't hear a thing.
Your up and down passage might get even better at the Delta.
Chase
them out.
Yeah.
All right. Any other comments?
That's it.
I'll go back and
see, can do it later,
see if they can beat in November.
Yeah. I just didn't. That's correct.
I'm
feeling
so generous. But, yeah.
So if you can go back and get them modifying that and stuff, that out of you, then we can do the stamp approval on it.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So moving on to Ricardo's transformer installation. So based on the comments from FPOM last month, they did switch T1?
Yeah, we switched T1 with T3 so that there'd be redundancy. So T3 will be finished first, and then T7, and then T1. And the reason that T7 happened, because you had mentioned in an email you wanted to switch T1 with T7 now, so it would be T3, T1, T7. The problem is that T3 won't be connected through another project, the fish unit breakers, till the end of the in-water work period in fiscal year 17-18. So during the construction of T7 as it's planned now. So you'd lose redundancy because T3 won't be ready to go yet if we start on T1 when we're planning on starting on T7. Does that make sense? It's in there.
Not at all.
Okay.
You had it for a few minutes.
You lost me about halfway through.
The main question was, could the bus work happen before we start the transformer work? That was your point.
Right.
And the plan right now is to leave the existing bus work in and build the new set of bus work concurrently so that that's all running, but you still have to disconnect the existing transformers to get that connection, and that's going to happen in the in-water work period during 17-18 for T3. So that's when they're physically going to connect T3 to the fish units.
How long does it take for the connection?
I think they said a couple weeks to do that work, but I'm not positive on that yet. They're going to get that to me here sometime soon, I hope. Okay. So anyways, that would be why we can't do a switch with T7 to T1 as it's scheduled now.
So what we're trying to avoid, regardless of all that,
right,
is we don't want to have TA fail and not have a redundant, a backup system.
Correct.
Which, in my mind, does not include the EWS, emergency EWS. That's not a backup for the whole thing. That's just an emergency. So even June, the spring is not a good time to have no redundancy there.
Is it possible to stretch the contract over a longer period of time? Or is there a lot of boat debug costs associated?
I'd have to find out. But right now, as it's planned, you will have redundancy.
Yeah, you're going to have it.
As it's planned right now.
Right.
T3, T1, T7, T1. But if we changed it again, then it would be, you would lose redundancy by swapping T1 and T7.
Okay, all I see is T1 is out March to June. Okay, so that's fish pasture season. TA, we know, is not in the best of shape.
Correct.
So, during that March to June of 2018, will there be a redundancy?
Yes, with T3.
All I want to know.
Yes.
So, okay, so you're saying T3 can act as redundant? If that's the case,
that bus works.
Yes. Yes.
Only in the current schedule, not if we switch.
That's my point. That's what Gary and I read.
Yeah, we're transitioning because we didn't
know what was done. Because the way we read it was, Gary and I read it was that T1 was the one that was redundant. If you say T3 can act as a redundancy for the TA line,
we're good.
Then we're fine once you get the work done.
That's your bus work.
Just say yes.
Yes, that is true. Yes.
And if you're wrong, we'll come and beat you.
Send it to Tammy.
He's got a good left hook. So.
Yeah. The one piece that's missing overall here, though, is what's up with the crane rail replacement for the...
That's been pushed out.
So it's beyond all this work?
Pretty much, yes. Okay. 2020 is the last I heard for the crane rail work.
Oh, perfect, because if it happened, we were going to have that conflict. If these units have to be out because the crane rail was out, it didn't matter what you went to
do. We're going to be in decadal time frames or so.
One thing
like
I'd like to add.
It's cool.
Yeah. Right. And then change it all. Yeah.
One thing I'd like to add, too, is on the bus ties to make sure that it's a tested bus tie before we
accept
move
it.
Forward. Yeah.
So let's write this up that way. Make sure somewhere in here in very large, bold letters that there will be redundancy for the fish units during this construction sequencing that you've laid out here.
Okay.
There will be redundancy. You will guarantee there will be redundancy. Then you're not going to hear
blood,
it to the extent that you can.
Write that in blood.
And write it in blood. Yeah. Well, red. Red's fine.
Mine are all in red, you've noticed.
Take it as blood. And then okay. That will help us be able to say, yeah, we're good with that.
Okey dokey.
But I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you guys for the bus work piece of this, because I know we tripped into line one was our real... we only had one way in and out on that one line.
No, right.
And so the bus work gives us the ability to go on a different line, right. Which doesn't exist or hasn't existed.
A lot more flexibility.
Right, so thanks for showing that and
for sure.
Making that happen. We'll have more dependable transformers and we'll have a second line that we can use. So
right.
a lot better than we currently have.
Right. You know, I thought the title was AWS Backup System.
It's only half backup.
Emergency.
One goes out.
Emergency.
Oh, emergency? Oh, I don't remember that in the title.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Emergency. E silent. We backed off on the queue for that thing.
I know.
To the point where we actually got it done, so let's not go there.
I know. I'm surprised you backed that far.
I know. But that's why I'm not relying on that as a total backup or something like that. Some of my hope to have those fish units. At least one.
Yeah.
So, sign of the blood, guarantee us.
I've got it.
There, done. Tammy's done it.
Okay, great. Thank you. We're good. Thank you.
I'm going to put it in there multiple times, so I don't want to hear any comments about why did you put this in
there? Every paragraph should have
the word redundant in it.
Every single...
Redundant.
Everything twice and recovered.
Talk about White Sturgeon, John Day.
All right.
So it's Miro and his lampreying work.
His version is going to be more fun.
I want to hear some on that end of the room.
For what? His lampreying and sturgeon?
Hold on, let me get back to the agenda. All right. No comments on the lampreying work?
Can you summarize those year to date for us? No, you'd be okay for you. I could probably do that now.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. You take your socks and shoes off?
I didn't want to thank Bonneville for summarizing the course, though. That was
nice. Appreciate it.
All right, Sturgeon.
Yay!
Okay, so I have an update, and I'm assuming everyone is familiar with the MFR and the stretch circumstances, because we never had fish in the roller gate before, in the roller gate slot at this. And this is connected evidently somehow with the digital governor installation. And we have been attempting to handle this situation as best as we could, but we discovered our tools didn't work quite well, because the first thought which came to mind when we found the fish would be disaster, and we discovered that the gate well feature in the roller gate slot is very different from the SDS slot. And there is a deep void recess, so the fish are hiding there. So we were unsuccessful in those attempts. To make a long story short, at this point, we still have a pretty high number of mid-sized sturgeon in their slots, A and B. And the current plan is that we're going to be dewatering tomorrow to salvage the fish. And the reason it took that long, because John Day didn't have any available the bulkheads to use, because we all the other bulkheads were already in other units, which we would have to basically had to disrupt the work on other units. And right now we're using the emergency bulkhead, which took quite a long time to get the approval for. So hopefully the situation looks like it's going to be resolved tomorrow. Any questions?
What's the total time they've been in there?
So we discovered, well, it's hard to know, but we found them on the 2nd of August.
And there's fairly good leakage around your bulk, so there's fresh water coming in, per se?
What is it about?
Oxygen. I mean, are you basically getting, is there fresh water coming
in? Well,
we
haven't seen, when we discovered the unit was running, so there was a fresh water coming into the slot. It was already, the unit returned to servers the prior Wednesday. In fact, we found one fish on the bulkhead shell, 6-footer, which we salvaged and transferred that. And we didn't know at that time yet. And then, so we haven't seen any mortalities or stress on fish after we stopped the unit. It's just that they trapped.
So all those fish that you saw, when you first saw, were in 15.
When we first saw, we estimated between the two slots, possibly 40 fish or more, between 3 to 5 feet that we could see from the surface of the slot. But you know, it's still quite deep.
Yeah. You've seen the tip of the iceberg, literally.
Yeah. It's quite a challenge.
So what's the usual protocol for this process for shutdown to try to avoid fish moving?
Right. How this could happen that the fish even end up in that spot, which is unusual, abnormal. It's pretty evident to me they had to get from the tail race through the open wicket gates into the scroll gate.
There's a protocol,
15 minutes limit during functional testing. And as far as our GDAX records are showing, the wicket gates were never open for longer than 10 minutes.
How often?
So that's
dozens of times, hundreds of times?
They opened closed the wicket gates several times?
There was a petition.
So they were cycling the wicket gates.
So it could be 10 minutes open, 2 minutes closed, 10 minutes open.
And what was that opening and closing for, Miro?
Function test.
Of the unit?
Right, because you have to calibrate the position of the wicket gates. That's required.
So the turbine wasn't running at that time?
No.
Couldn't be.
Running
the wicket gates.
Yeah, the situation, the circumstances, again, to kind of explain and clarify. For the digital governor installation, only the head gates are installed. We say no tail locks.
Okay, right. So that's open. So what about the blades? Were the blades flattened?
Yeah.
Did you run those blades flat when you were doing that, or were they tilted wherever they were?
When you
opened them
off, they were doing the function test?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, they might have moved them too.
Could they have kept those flat the whole time? As flat as possible?
No, I don't know.
So
that would help reduce stern movement through the turbines by keeping them flat like that.
No, that's not in the requirement. That's kind of
no, but I'm just thinking that one way to keep them from getting up through the wicket gates is to flatten the blade angle as much as you possibly can. You may not be able to seal it, you might keep the larger sturgeon from getting into the intake section of the unit while you're. It's not exactly a stop log, but it would keep them downstream of the runner,
okay.
So that then when you start things up, they go on out.
Okay.
But they're not going through
the
blades.
Run the jackhammer up there too.
we have.
Actually, that's not totally crazy. I mean, the other way of doing this is if you've got them in the intake, you could pull your intake trash. Racks out of them.
We never do. We haven't pulled our trash racks for ages.
I'm just thinking of getting ready. If you've got them in there already, to get them out of there, and then you can move the wicket gates in a way that maybe
doesn't scare. The problem was, Gary, that the fish appear to be surface oriented. We tried to push them down with
the
roller gates again into the intake, flow, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Evidently, so.
Well, that's interesting. Where'd they go?
What we're saying is the fish appeared to come in from the draft tube, downstream, move up into the scroll cage, and since the wicket gates were open, up into the gate well slot.
Right. And it's only the slots which had the roller gates, the bulkhead installed, not the roller gates. So there were two bulkheads, and those were slots A and B and C at the roller gate. The slot was full, so there were no sturgeon found in that one.
Is there, do you have the ability to release those fish back in the tail rate?
That's the only way you can do it is the water of the unit again.
Yeah, I think you have to do that because otherwise you're going to run them.
Yeah, you're going to run
those big fish through those turbines. I don't know how you can do that.
Yeah, 3-5
just on startup.
Yeah, 3-5 turbines are not.
You can't go wide open right at the start, that's going to be. Killer.
So is that kind of option being considered at this point?
Pull the water and kill them.
It is, it sounds like, right?
Hope so.
And you're going to go in and manually remove fish from the space. You're going to put them in the forebay.
Out there draining.
Yeah,
just back into the tail race.
Well, the hope is that when you drain, some of them will do that too.
And then when it comes time to power back up, how are we going to avoid fish moving back up through the draft tube? Into the scroll.
Well, I guess the question is, how are we going to do it?
Is that being considered?
Do you guys have tail logs available?
Well, you got slow roll.
We have
slow roll is probably your best option.
To be able to dewater the scroll case, you would have to install tail logs.
Yeah.
Slow roll, 100 foot head dam.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, this is the first occurrence of this kind. And it's something to do with, again, the digital governor started, I think, last year. We still have quite a few limits to finish. They've been starting the process to avoid this.
When is the next one going to be worked on so they can try to make sure we get a better process?
It's 16, actually. It's already underway.
Is there a tail log slot? There's a tail log.
It's
the
head gate 16, same as before.
No tail
lock. So we could run the same problem.
Yeah, so this could be a week.
And so what I would recommend is at least running a flat blade angle as much as possible if you can't put tail logs in. Tail logs probably ought to be put in, though, but you're saying you don't have enough.
Yeah.
Do you really need a tail log?
We're using the emergency set right now for this, because this is hopefully one day.
Hey, Meryl,
and we can
Do you have a frame the size of a tail log? I mean, all you need is a chain link fence or something it doesn't have to have any structure almost at all.
Sure. So it's like you need a barrier.
All you need is a barrier. So is there any way we could build just a something?
You mean like for the tail log? To keep the fish out?
Exactly. You don't need a whole real stop log because you're not going
to
keep
one. I remember something vaguely that we used to consider, things like that.
Just don't forget the dimension.
Then you trap whatever's gone in before you get it down, too.
You don't have anything
you have to roll before you put them down.
Right now we're going to get, we got weeks or days or however
long
it takes.
It would be large size. It would have to be a good size structure.
Be something down the road. If you keep those blade flat,
keep your wicket gates going. You're going to have to open the wicket gates to test, but keep the blade flat and then do a slow roll on startup. Any fish that are in the draft team will just go.
Well, one thing before they do the wicket test, you might be able to run the unit hard and try to flush everything out,
right.
Then flatten the blades, and then do
right,
cycling like that. Yeah. Just trying to keep the fish
in the blade. Okay.
But they may not want to do that because if the blades aren't right, they're going to have a problem. I mean,
not do what?
To run the unit hard.
Well, no, I say run the unit hard first, then stop, and then flatten your blades, then do your wicket gates open and close, and go through that kind of process just to try to cycle the fish out, and then
just
once they're theoretically out,
it may take a few minutes, I'm sure, between the time they run hard and they actually flatten the blade, but that's okay.
I don't know
what the, that's the question we need to have here, because this is going to be a thing where they can't, the unit's going to be off anyways for long periods of time, and then we're going to have to come up with something better, because otherwise you're going to keep running into this.
Well, you guys had your fishing work group, you focused.
Oh, look at me, I was in the fishing work group.
So, is there a written protocol for dealing with this issue?
We have a written protocol for working on turbines, but this is a little different. This is different than that.
Correct. So, do we
have a protocol for when you're going to take a turbine down and how to restart it, but this is...
In order for maintenance, the turbine was never meant to be dewatered. That was the problem.
You might remember at one time we required that they did not open the wicket gates at all. Testing, but they needed to during before they bring the unit back up. They have to run the functional test in the wicket gate. So then we all compromise. Okay, we'll give them 15 minutes.
But we don't
know how much is too much.
15 minutes times 100 times is a lot.
Wait, how many times did they do it?
If they did a bunch of times, and if they just say, "Oh, we have to keep them closed for."
I think three times, and there was a gap of a few minutes in between them. So like there was one chunk of 10 minutes, there was a couple of minutes, there was 7 minutes after that, and there was one.
Well, when they close them, if they're just closing them for a second just to meet the protocol, they're closed now, we can open up for another 10 minutes. Right. That's really not going to help. The intended purpose of keeping service out.
It doesn't appear that they exceeded the spirit of this.
I thought the initial
minutes total, but not by a lot, maybe fewer minutes.
Just flatten the blades.
Yeah, okay.
That's about all I can do.
Yeah.
Just, you can't run the turbines, that's all you can do.
No, just flatten the blades.
Obviously we have been
saying then go down the idea of Scott's.
From occurring, so we have people now scrambling to put, to study and investigate how to prevent this from repeating itself.
I think you have two ideas. You've got to flatten the blades and the idea of putting a chain link fence.
You may need to get that in the FPP change form.
That'll be a change form for the flattening of the blades. I don't know about the fence idea. If that's a fairwig or whatever.
Maybe change the schedule of this functional test. Do it at the very end. When the bulkheads are already out, I don't quite understand why the bulkheads have to be in. I guess it's safety, so we cannot do it.
Good idea.
Pull the bulkheads, but coordinate it more tightly, I think, in the time after the bulkhead removal process. You know, do it just before the bulkheads are in.
So one thing I noticed when I looked at this is that you caught more sturgeon with the blower shell than you did with the other effort for the new
And one was the first one in which I mentioned before even we realized what we were getting. This was found on the bulkhead. The one was on the removed with the basket, and then two others were on the roller gates, smaller ones.
Dip basket was pretty tough to use there. Plus the temperature and all that. Very stressful.
Yeah. I guess the best thing is to prevent them from dipping.
That's right. Flush them out. Yeah. There's no way to flush them out.
Especially with the temperatures and stuff you do.
Those that are there now, we kind of hope to know what the condition of those fish are.
They'll have to do a
mirror. They're going to do every unit.
We prefer to know how long they've been there. You know, honestly. We'd like to participate in
Approximately 2 weeks looks like, well, not more than 2 weeks. Because we found them on the second, and they just leave there a few days, I think. The functional test was on the 22nd of July, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
22nd of July? Yeah. So they could have been there for a while. It sounds like that this was an opportunistic find, just happened to see them. It could be occurring, it could have been as long as, what do you have in here, June 22nd through July 29th?
Mm-hmm. Right, so mm-hmm.
And what's in there now, you know, could be out of sight as well. All of these actions to try to get at that, to help fish move back into the tail race are appreciated, for sure.
I think the other thing that we've kind of discussed, and we realize it is an imposition on the court to some extent, but the opportunity to have a biologist from one of the state agencies or tribes there to help sample and pick up data, look for marked fish, provide that access would be appreciated. And how we could develop a protocol to do that, we'd be very open to that discussion. Because we're spending a lot of money for BPA Fish and Wildlife Program for sturgeon monitoring and sturgeon population.
Yeah, what are we doing?
And it is an important issue to us.
That's
BPA is going to cover it?
Species.
BPA covers a lot.
Thank you.
Anything else on that?
No, I just, I don't know if we need the full task. It sounds like there needs to be some language.
I have that. Please. Covered.
I thought you said you had a language card.
I could write the language too, but
Tammy, could you also include just the link to the call that was utilized for this in the beginning, so we can find it easily? I just
the what?
The protocol for the beginning of this process for the shutdown. Unit 15.
Honestly, I don't think that probably was because since they weren't dropping tail logs, they probably didn't. They probably just they shut the unit down and then.
So I can understand what that's that is.
5.2.3 in John Day. That is for other testing. It wasn't related to.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I realize that this is a first observation of the problem. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Just to be sure that we understand what the process is. It's
okay.
Going to be helpful just to know where you are.
Hey, Merrill, how many more governors
even if it's
do they
not
have?
Directly
how many more governors
just
you have to change
your instance?
How many more?
I have to still find out. Quite a few, I think about half.
Hey, Tammy. Is the protocol for John Day and the Dalles 15 minutes for regular turbine maintenance allowing the open wicket gates?
I believe it is for just the regular maintenance
protocol. For
is there some reason why they can't do it
15 minutes
with tail open for your regular maintenance?
If
we used to do it out of convenience at Bonneville, they would pull tail logs and then they would do the wicket gate timing, which we switched to and said, no, do it with the tail logs in. So we don't run into that on our regular turbine maintenance at all. Digital governors might be a little bit different, but we just did ours as well. So I don't know if that's an option for them. I don't know the difference in plans for another.
Did you put the tail lights in for your digital governors?
Can't imagine that we did for all of them because we had 11 down and we only had two sets. I believe if they just minimized the time that they were open. Really all they were doing for us was gate timing, so they literally had to swing open and swing close the time it takes to do that, which is seconds. Mm-hmm. I don't know the difference between the times.
Oh, Townville is the flagship, right?
Oh, that sounds
fun. Ongoing debate.
So it sounds like a change form, is that order here?
Yep, I have that noted.
Just to follow up a little bit, what would be the protocol to initiate a discussion for the agency to be able to participate in the sampling of these fish when they're old and take them out? Where would we take that discussion up?
Tammy.
Move that one forward.
You take it to Tammy. Close space.
It's not likely that you will get permission to go into the unit to sample fish down there, and once they come out, the way that these projects are set up, there's not a lot of time nor space to do sampling. So unless you are on site with a tank and you can take them somewhere else and handle them, and then they are no longer core responsibility, I don't see any other
and the timing way. Sometimes is unpredictable. You would end up sometimes waiting, too. It's not always the precise time that you are shooting for. Sometimes there are delays that you don't have the weapon capabilities and so forth.
Well, we certainly recognize there are many variables in that equation. But given the opportunity, if that opportunity presents itself, we even had the opportunity to set something up to be prepared for that. Yeah. I think there's an interest to take a look at what those opportunities are and see if we can be prepared to do that.
So if you guys were to propose something and kind of go out to the project and see where there might be space and how you could possibly do it without impacting the rest of the maintenance that has to go on, and especially the fish salvage, which is awfully oftentimes time sensitive. Then we could review that.
Along those lines, I want to point out that this MFR is kind of like far apart from our records for the last few years of regular dewaterings, which we haven't found a large number of sturgeon at all, much lower than the long-term average during the regular dewatering. So this is just kind of an outlier situation in that sense as well.
And I understand that, and I think we understand that too, but we have had a couple of occasions, this one and years ago, where we
sometimes there is this kind of...
And if we knew the protocols, I had the opportunity to set that up. I certainly have gotten the feedback from my agency staff that we would like that opportunity to go in and biosample and or take the opportunity to park fish.
So I don't think it'd be going in. It would be outside the powerhouse, and you're ready to take those fish from
the biosample. Basically, what you're saying is bring your own transport facility.
Yes.
Have a holding facility for the sturgeon. If you bring your own holding facility for the sturgeon, you can probably work something out with the core. Basically, the core is saying, once we get the fish out,
our goal is to get them out and back into the river. So if you want them in between that point of getting them out of the unit and back into the river, then you have to be able to take them from us and do whatever you will.
Okay.
Well, and then you're washing your hands up from that time, and it'll be up to them to release. Okay. Yep.
And I better not see them show up at the Bonneville hatchery, because then you won't get any more sturgeon.
No more hermits.
Okay.
Are you talking about behind the window?
How will you know?
I go there often and look at those sad sturgeons.
That leads us to we can back to sturgeon folks in the agency can talk about, is this something we want to try to do?
So, again, I think the preference is more about preventing them from hurting into the swamps. The hope is if they do get there that we understand what condition they're in and all of that. So,
but it's volitional, right? They can go in and out while it's down. So it's like they don't just go in there and then they're stuck there. They're volitional, so they can go in and out.
They could be stuck.
No, they're past the wicket gates.
Past the wicket gates. No,
they're stuck.
That's all the case that we don't really do. If there's fish we see and fish we don't. So it could be a lot of different things going on. So, you care about that.
Yeah. So back to the FPP change form.
Same thing in Bonneville.
Is that
you get all prepared to do it? But the fact of the matter is, the last 3 years of sturgeon salvages we've done, or draft tube salvages,
there's been nothing. Exactly.
So, but the thing is, you have to be on site to know that's the case. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to have 90% of your time completely wasted.
That's understood. You could go fishing for a full day and come back
for
without.
Yeah, the blades.
Yeah.
That's kind but of. Then we also need to clarify.
So, shall we keep it
in total?
Well, one of the changes I think over the last since the core contract had gone to Blue Lee, as one of the agency, bio on that was one person was authorized to be there, and the contract asked would include it to be there and these kinds of things.
They have one more.
Okay. Okay. Ready to move on?
Gary wants
one for Ben. The 12 fog. What's the status?
The 12 fog. You mean the one that's currently out? I have to look. I mean, it's not always the same 12 fog. You know what I mean? I can see which one they're on.
I want to see how many people are out. I remember going, huh? What's he talking about?
I don't know what it is, but the one they have out right now.
Yeah, I see that you've got one out for maintenance. It's been that way all year. I just wondered if there was...
There's almost always one out, but it's not always the same one.
Okay, so they've been cycling through.
Yeah, I mean, I could put... Yeah, I could put which one it is, if that would help. So you kind of can track.
As long as we have them all running.
Can you send an email every time one turns on?
All but one.
Yes.
Yes. An email every time. And it's got to go through Doug.
Just reach it.
That was a big all the forums email distribution list so everybody can be aware when that happens.
Whenever you hear a single Doug, you just send an email.
If we can help you with that.
That's easy. I know you know how to use your file, but
and we can cut and paste pretty wickedly.
So getting back to that one, though, that's basically a cycle that you're running through, and just it's just a maintenance cycle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if it would help, it wouldn't be a big deal for me to indicate like on the weekly because they don't change.
Yeah.
Frequently,
if it's just on the weekly.
Which one it was.
But okay. This was a week late.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's fine. I was just thinking we were minus one. The one's out.
Oh, he's okay.
They're all, yeah, short
one. There's one that's out with the bulkhead in it, so they do the maintenance, but then when that one comes in, it goes back and a different one comes out. I guess what I'm saying is if you want to know what that duration was, I could tell you.
No, that's okay. Don't worry about that.
Are you thinking you want to make sure you have maximum
there? Yeah, I want to make sure that they're all open. I was thinking that we had one that was down for maintenance and has been down for several months, and I was wondering what the status was of it to get it back up and running. But, yeah. Which would be next year, obviously, but...
It's probably... I mean, I can check with them to see where they are.
It's
probably almost...
Yeah.
Constant. Okay.
By the time they finish. So I can check with them.
So we basically always have all an orifice that'd be out of service.
Almost.
Because of that, of the maintenance issues.
Very few years.
Which means that we need a spare.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know where that would fall. We don't even have spare. Like, same as Miro, we don't have spare tail lights. We have two sets. That's pretty high on the funding list.
Well, that's one thing we were going to talk about on this this meeting, but we probably aren't now, is the
infrastructure.
The infrastructure.
Yeah. Oh, we're putting that off till 2020, I think.
That's fine with me. Wait till Fredericks leaves, because he was the one who brought it up.
I think as things are coming up, we're trying to bring them up, and it looked like Tammy's trying to mess up the house. Well,
once I get my assistant, we'll get the critical infrastructure stuff taken.
Yeah, it would be good to get that out there, because that's the sort of place where these things could be identified, we can follow.
And then prioritize a little
bit. Prioritize a little bit.
When we bring Joyce McDonald, whether she calls in or whatever, we can... have you can ask the question of her related to the NWW projects as well, because I was able to pass that baton,
and that's so, in 2020. What?
No, that's starting. That's starting. That'll be next month. We'll try to have her call in on McNary Fish Pump 2 issue and path forward, and as a bigger part of that, can as a follow up question, just kind of ask the bigger picture. You know how to best track that. You know, where we're at, we still have lists, I think, at each of the projects.
Mm-hmm. It would be good to have on our webpage those lists, project by project, you know, those things that we have, our wish list of things we'd like to see done. It's your money, you're going to prioritize it, but you could use some help, I think. At least we'll give you some help whether you want it or not, both on what's on the list as well as what we think is the higher priority items. And I don't want to get into all the nuances of O&M funding, because I know there's more channels and cubby holes and levels.
We can talk at the level of needs first.
Yeah,
and then
just basic stuff.
Just the process that we have that's a little different than what Tammy's put herself in place in now. Anyway, big picture, it's all the same, though. I mean, the way the Corps does business. So, that said, we've diverged from the agenda. Why don't we try to get back on the agenda? Ice Harbor Turbine Unit Priority Change for Research Equipment on the schedule that I passed out, that was this week. So my understanding is that Trevor and Brad Trumbo, after last meeting, agreed upon words, and so we were ready to approve that and that there were no further comments. Is that correct?
That's approved. That's fine.
Okay. Good. The next one, Ice Harbor 011, turbine unit priority low flows. Ken, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
You want to give us a brief on that?
Sure. So this is kind of related to the problem we had when we were still in the 30% spill and running between one and two units. When we stopped spill in August, we're going to have a similar situation where the river flows are on the way down and we're going to be going between one and two unit operations. And we have that dead band problem between operating one unit at the upper end, 1%, and operating two units at the lower end. So with the fixed blaze on unit three, which is normally the second unit in priority, that extends the dead band out a little bit, extends it up. So what we're proposing to do is we have unit six would be second in priority. I know on the MOC, it says unit four would be second, but Trevor and I talked, and we agree that unit six would be better at second priority, as it would help for middle fish attraction to the North Tower House entrance. So so then unit six would be second, unit four would be third, and then unit three would be fourth. And so that's in that MOC. Well, actually, that would have to, the original proposed is in the MOC, but we would have unit 6 seconds, unit 4 thirds.
Okay.
So this would take effect from September 1st through November 30th, because December 1st, the unit priority becomes in the order.
So does anybody have any comments on this? Anybody have any problems with this? Why don't we start there?
That's fine. Do we have to do any switching?
I was just going
to ask. The lines, there's some tricky stuff at Ice Harbor, depending on what units you got running and how many you have running. And is this going to work? I don't have it memorized.
So, Ken, did you hear Scott's question?
I did, yeah. There won't be any problem because the only problem there is if we're only operating one unit, like on line two. So it'd be like operating three or four by itself, but since we're operating unit one, unit one is expected to be operating in this period anyway, so there shouldn't be any problem with the line switching.
Okay, thanks for checking.
So and it sounds like we have a comment.
This will be an FPP then?
This is just this year.
Just this year?
So this is through November 30th this year. It's something that could be talked about for low flow years if we... One of the things we might consider when we talk about the FPP is just circumstances specific to low flow and maybe think about a different appendix for that rather than, or whether we want it in the project sections. But I think right now we've made a lot of adjustments specific to this year. Right now we haven't done change forms to make those permanent.
Okay.
So a quick question. Can we expect flows to pick back up prior to November 30th and we could go back to the original priority?
Are you doing a dance or am I?
I mean,
it's weather.
Rain?
I mean, once you can go back to the original priority, it looks like you could stay there.
Mm-hmm. I think 30 would be right around a good threshold.
What do you mean 30?
Oh, 30 KCFS.
30 KCFS. Yeah. Well, whatever it takes to run one and two.
That's the preferred operation.
You know, that would be the preferred operation, especially with the number of adults returning that we're going to have in terms of fall Chinook and steelheads.
Are you catching that? It sounds like just a caveat in this MOC, Ken, that if flows pick back up to be greater than 30, that Trevor would like to see Unit 1 and 2 again become the priority, go back to the original priority.
Right.
But what's in the FPP now, isn't it? Any unit at that period?
No.
When does that kick in?
December
1.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess if we accept the MOC, are you going to write a CBT?
Yes.
So in the CBT, could we put that caveat? Because then the operator would know. That's maybe
yeah, I was just going to say, then it goes down the path of our day after.
That's what I'm saying. I want, you know, if you're expecting that it's going to stay at that level for the rest of the season, then you just reach back. If you think it's just a blip on the radar,
communication, sorry.
You don't want to, you know, shut the email out and fire you. I just want to switch back again. So however you word that, that's up to you guys.
That's all type where they tell the project to operate.
Okay.
So it sounds like that's kind of a...
It's just how to word it.
It most likely, Trevor, there's going to be a second. You'll just revoke your teletype.
We'll probably start seeing it rather than trying to build it into the teletype. But as far as if, in the future, if we do want to define a low-flow unit priority for the FPP, then we'll need to figure out how to word that criteria so that it's clear how to, whether based on the previous day's average or forecast, or just make it so it's sort of cruise control. But I get the intent, like if it's going to be above 30 kcfs from here on out, then
If the weather changed and things were different, what he's saying is he'd prefer it wouldn't stay permanent through November 30th, which makes sense.
As long as it rains, we can change it.
Right.
It may stay that way.
Yeah.
So don't put your life savings on that one.
Yeah. No. But
we got the intent.
Would you identify a time block? If you said a blip, is it a blip 1, 2, 3 days? Is it a week? What would we want to take advantage of if we had the 30 kcfs?
I'd say a week.
Okay, that probably would be a good target to identify. But if we expect flows to stay up above 30 for a week, back to usual operations.
That's not a daily cycle, and I'd accept that challenge.
So I think with that, we're probably done with that one, Ken. And the next one was yours as well. It's the Stilling Basin Hydrography Survey.
Yes. So this is for the Dam Safety Program. They've scheduled a hydrographic survey of the Stilling Basin, both spillway, for September 9th. And this would occur from as early as 7:30 in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. And it would require still conditions to get good results from the survey. So, of course, the spill will be done for the season. We don't expect to have to spill. And units 4, 5, and 6 would need to be out. So the three closest to the spillway. So during this time period, units 3 and 4 would be out for annual maintenance. So unit 3 would also be out. So that would leave units 1 and 2 available. So unit 1 would, of course, be operating as the main priority unit. Unit 2 would be second in priority.
That's probably good. Does anybody have any comments on that? Any having problems with that?
That's the NGS. That's one test we prefer. That's fine.
Okay.
The pumps would be running as normal, and all the entrances, fissure entrances, would be open. I spoke with the district COR on this, and he said there shouldn't be any reason to mess with the fissure entrances for the AWS pumps.
Good.
Okay, thank you. It sounds like this is a go. We have nobody with any adverse comments at this time. Okay, let's keep moving. The next one would be the Little Goose Digital Governor that came out last night. So Towns, I know you've been sitting there for a while. Hopefully you're still on the phone.
Yes, I'm still here. We've not started loading our barge today yet.
Okay. It's getting close, huh?
Hey, Ann, do they put stop logs in?
So, Towns, Scott had a question. Scott Benton had a question for you. He's BPA. He's wondering whether what we're talking about here, whether or not you have tail race stop logs in.
I actually don't know the answer to that right now. I really don't. It's a little bit of a challenge getting communication with the POC on this, and that was part of the issue with this coming out at such a last minute. So I can't answer that.
All right. So why don't you go ahead and give us just the brief of why this came out late, what you're doing, and what any potential impacts are.
So we've upgraded the digital governors on Unit 2, and essentially what we need to do is run it through the ropes. We've got to go through the entire operational range to just validate proper operation, which will include running it outside of the 1% peak efficiency. And so at Little Goose, the unit priorities are in order. They're units 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So given the low flow conditions we currently have, we would have to switch from using unit 1 to unit 2 to operate these, to go through these operational tests.
What dates are that?
17th to 20th, I think.
Yeah.
Three days.
Make sure that's out.
Can you schedule that in the afternoon, or does it have to be all day?
Did you hear the question, Towns?
Yeah, the little bit of information that I got, I asked similar questions. The little bit of information I got is that it could take up to 7 hours a day to do the testing. So I can request that it gets pushed later on in the day, but that's the window that they told me about.
Like 10 in the morning or something?
Yeah, that'd be better
like
than 7.
10 a.m. starting?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there any issues of turning unit 1 on and off, or you're going to switch between 1, 2, 1, 2? Okay.
At Little Goose, there shouldn't be.
There shouldn't be at Little Goose, on and off, on and off.
I mean, this is something that couldn't wait until
September,
September 1 when you have more flow and can run two units?
We could probably wait that time, but then we start running into the fall run. More fish.
Yeah, but you won't. It wouldn't be
an
issue. So no spill. You got two units at the powerhouse running. Mm-hmm. One's kind of doing its thing, but the other one's steady. I wouldn't expect to have it in
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, Towns, you're hearing a comment here whether or not this work could be put off from NOAA Fisheries.
Well, you can pretty much sign up the same thing. I haven't had a chance to read this, but that's how we used to run Little Goose for years, was no spill and play at the powerhouse, and we never saw adult passage problems. So I assume after September 1, that's what you'd be back to.
But what would your problems be before September 1?
I mean, unit 2-1 down and unit 2 running.
There's a big debate about how important unit 1 is, and I think most people agree it's fairly important.
It is. We found that out over and over.
So there's two requests there. There's number one, could this be put off until after spill season? And the second, if your answer to that is for some reason no and has good justification, whether or not it could be scheduled a start time later in the day.
And this is John. I can answer some of the reason why they're doing it. Just quick, they have to have certification through the Western Energy Power Council that certifies the unit. If the unit is not certified, they cannot run it on the grid. It basically goes out of service. And they can do that. So that's important to have Unit 2 available for the fall migration if Unit 1 is going to be out of service and Unit 2 would be the closest to the South Shore entrance. So that's something to consider.
Why is Unit 1 going to be out of service the fall?
Oh, isn't it going to be too low a flow to run it? Well, it can run, let's see.
No, it's a Kaplan.
No, it's a Kaplan, and also you have enough spills. You should have enough flow for one.
No, that's wrong, John.
I get the need out there is certification of WECNERC, so that could be something that someone needs to answer. It is a 2-week period, so I think you're not getting approval on this at this time, Towns. What we need is a modified MOC that either allows for this work to wait until after spill season. Or if the justification is what John suggested, that you need the certification within the next 2 weeks and it has to be done, then people are requesting that it be done after 10 a.m.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, well, thank you for that brief. And go ahead and stay on because the next one, Little Goose, I sent out an MOC on Navlock cycling and rental pumps, and I haven't had any written comments, and I wanted to verify from folks today that at this time no one had any further comments.
Okay.
No, one, we appreciate you guys looking into that, that kind of stuff. If I understand it correctly, you probably wouldn't be able to get the pumps in until sometime in September anyways.
That would be the earliest.
Yeah. And
I think there's a lot of uncertainty. I don't know that I shared a lot of that in the MOC, but Steve Hall kind of weighed in that as part of our evaluation when I wrote the MOC, we really looked at the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So if we had like 103, 106 degree days in September, that was our worst case scenario.
Yeah.
I don't know how likely that is to occur. We expect warmer than average temperatures, but our September temperatures, even back in 2013, which is probably the closest, didn't get anything like that. And we have had something that's kind of unusual, and I hope I'm not too out of line by being just down to earth on this, but we've had cooler nights throughout the summer, which is very unseasonable for us over in Walla Walla. We generally have very hot nights in the middle of the summer, and yet we've been having these cooler nights with very hot days.
We appreciate it.
So, so I kind of expect that we have that buffering that's been ongoing, and I expect that to continue. Just
shorter day lengths, too, makes a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if we thought there was going to, my read of it, if there's going to be a problem, it'll probably set up in the end of August, but you're not going to be able to get it in by then. I would say from a long-term standpoint, we want you to pursue this and let's start taking a look at it. For this year, I just don't think I don't think we're going to get them in time to make it enough benefit to warrant the amount of work and effort you guys are going to have to do on it. So, and that's the other question.
Issues of the liver.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. About permanent chimneys?
I think that's what he's probably trying to refer to. I don't think he wants us long-term to look into rental pumps on an annual basis. I think what he's probably suggesting, and is that something that you guys will talk about in other forums, such as like SCT?
Well, we'll talk about it.
And that would be the message back to you. Like, you know, I think, at least from our agency standpoint, we want to take a look at trying to get a more robust and permanent fix at GUS to deal with when we see these large temperature discrepancies at the entrance.
So we'd like to be prepared for the pumps. Yeah. For the temporary rental pumps by next summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since we won't have chimneys by then.
Right.
So doing but that now pumps, gets us there, that would though. Be a good thing. Yeah.
So that'll be the feedback. I appreciate that. I was just looking for some where people were sitting right
we
now.
We still have an evaluation of the granite. Whatever you want to call
and
it.
Then operation.
Temporary operation.
The permanent fix, Ryan's.
The chimney fix itself.
The evaluation, post construction evaluation, to get through that to make sure the thing actually works.
I mean, we're going to have the right weather to really evaluate it correctly.
Is Noah going to let us go tag a bunch of fish in that kind of hot temperature water and release them?
There's going to be some caveats attached to that.
There's definitely a gray area there.
Yeah. Sure, I think Bill's going to take some sockeye, no problem.
Well, Bill's point.
If you talk about temporary pumps at Gorge next year, you're also going to be talking about a temporary pipe or tap to pull the water from depth, I'm sure.
So we'll have to, we can look into.
It's just the PVC pumps.
The
pumps,
But of course, you're going to have to go through engineering design to make sure that everything fits.
But you got electricity.
There's no simple just throw pumps in a place like Little Goose. So yes, we would have to go through some process. We would have to secure some funding to do that. So why don't we start looking into what it will take and kind of give some feedback then on the longer term.
And some place to look at maybe putting like electrical outlets and granite so you don't have to track yourself with diesel pumps as the only option. Yeah. That way you might get some a little more flexibility on what your options of pumps would be and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So.
Find an outlet somewhere.
Big one.
Okay.
And then another thing you have to write on your list is we've got pretty good temperature monitoring and those graphs that Elizabeth produces comparing the temperatures at four different locations that she's been giving us once a week. It'd be nice to have at least that same effort at Goose so we could really know where the hot water is, if there's any cool water somewhere deep. And
well, we share the stream temperatures, but I think you're on a good point is that exit temperatures at all the ladders in the snake would be at least a good critical place to start with.
Mm-hmm. I think Sounds actually has that info. He just has to send it on.
He's got temperatures.
We need a monitor on the south shore.
It's like Elizabeth.
Where
we expect the cool water from the turbines to be going downstream.
Well, a scroll case would have been nice to have.
Well, and the thing is, we should be able to get a scroll case back because I don't, you guys, I think, can, it'd be just a matter of reporting the scroll case.
Right.
Go back to the report at one time a day, every day.
Is the instrument still there?
I don't know if the instrument's still there because when we inquired after, when you asked the last time, they went and, it's Laura Hamilton or somebody responded that we no longer collect that data, meaning we don't have the instrumentation.
Well, collect or not have the instrumentation, that's two different things.
Yeah, I mean, they're just not checking it. The monitor's there, but they're not looking at it.
The monitor's been gone for a while.
It sounds like they don't have it.
Yeah, I don't, that was the understanding I got, is that there was no equipment there to collect data.
Let's take a look at that, and there's, I think, the what the where we get all the lamprey, the strainer might be an easy location to get temperatures from. The strainer should be easy. Access point to be able to put it.
Where is that?
Turbine strainers.
Yeah, that's I know. Where does that water come from?
The turbine. It goes right through, right from the scroll case.
Right through that.
Yeah.
It's just cleaning, or it's cooling water.
Flow through all the time?
Yeah. When the unit's running, yes.
Yeah. And the data accessibility, I mean, the data available.
So, Towns, do you want to comment? This is specific to the hobos that you have within the ladder, and people are inquiring about availability of the data. Do you want to comment? Basically, for Laura Granite, Elizabeth and or her crew has been able on a weekly basis to provide the data, and there actually has been some graphs attached to that. Do you have the staff? Do you have the capability this year as we go into September? I think particularly for the first part of September to be able to provide that to folks, or is that something that we would have to push off to future years? I know you've got some hobos in.
Yeah, we're, well, there's a couple of things going on here. So, yeah, we are a bit understaffed here. Right now, I had, once we got out of that experimental operation that we were doing, I had reverted back to every other week downloading the hobos and sending them off. And in fact, just today, I downloaded our loggers and sent them off. I believe I sent them to Greg at least. So we have four hobo loggers. We have one at the ladder exit. We have one at essentially halfway down at the bend in the ladder, and then we have one in front of our count window. The fourth one is in our primary dewaterer, and that, you know, that water is used to add attraction flow to the tail race. So, and right now we're getting about 3 degrees difference between our ladder exit temperature and our primary dewaterer temperature. So that's something you can look at too on the data. And then I also heard some comments about scroll case temperature. We did locate a very old thermometer that's hooked up to the strainers for unit one. So we've added that to our fishway inspection data collection that we write down that number as well. So we'll have that data now 3 times a week at least.
So I guess you're forwarding every other week your ladder data to Greg, and then you're saying now that you might have some scroll case 3 times a week. Could you put that in your weekly, the scroll case in your weekly, and then Greg, can you facilitate getting out to the region the every other week at this point? Is that that would be a great start, I think, for Little Goose to start getting some regular distribution of the information this year, and then if we get in some crisis or something, we can inquire if there's anything else we could be doing.
And this might be an opportunity for, like, Laura to add this into her water temperature monitoring stuff. If she's got access to this, she can just put on her.
Put on the web she wants.
Yep. No.
The temperature probe in unit one, is that something you could hook a hobo up to? I mean, make it so it's just, you're just going to walk by, read the thermometer, and then write it down, right? So
right.
There will be three individual points.
I don't know what the process is. Towns, can you address that? I mean, if I remember right, you can't put a hobo in that strainer at all.
It's under pressure.
No, but he says there's one that has a thermometer in one of them, right?
Is it just a plain thermometer then?
It was in the scroll case is where the thermometer
was.
It's a
very plain mercury thermometer.
Right, but my guess is whatever the threading is, there's an access point that you might be able to adapt some other sensor in there that can be electronically fed into a hobo. Because right now you're just going to get three single points. Is that enough?
So you have a digital regular recording.
If that's what you guys are looking for.
Then you don't have to walk up to them.
So I guess that's more of a long-term question. Yeah. I don't think that's something we can deal with in season.
Right now, but for next year maybe.
So maybe towns. You could have that as a due-out as we go through the winter work window to report back whether there's another way to turn the existing mercury thermometer into a digital readout that would be more regularly just read routinely. And this is the one. This is the scroll case temperature.
It would be yes.
Mm-hmm. And what's the depth? Did towns say the intake for the primary dewater?
Well, that's your JFF water, so that's your, you know, that's...
Perfect. So that's JFF water coming from the orifice.
Yeah, it's coming in from the orifice, and they're reading it, and the thermometer's right at
you. So it's coming from, 65, 70 feet.
Yeah, through the gate rail.
Depends on how the unit's drawing, how close the unit's drawing, and the intake to the surface. It could be fairly high, actually.
So, Ann, how do we get this more automated in the future? Similar to how we have the stream data that sort of automatically uploads, how do we get ladder data that automatically uploads?
I think that's a question that has to go back through Ryan, the engineers, et cetera, that run the water quality program. You know, they're trying to make some changes at Lower Granite due to the temperature issue, mm-hmm. and this may or may not come up in your Fitterwig meeting, okay. but I would suggest you maybe take it there because... Okay. So while it's operations, engineering actually facilitates that water quality element. And Steve Jewell has two people that work with him. Russ Heaton is another, is the person who actually is in the field implementing it. And I think Sean Milligan, during the course of our Lower Granite Monday calls, has inquired, you know, what else would we do if we needed to do it, and they could take some feedback. So I think we want to, within this forum, stay in the loop, and we can maybe lobby for it and support some of those needs. But I think the inquiries kind of specifically need to go to like a Sean Milligan / Ryan Lowry / Steve Jewell.
Yeah, I think first we have to get support from the Corps to provide funding for an effort like that and stop everything. So I think we could do it from a technical basis. I just don't know
how flush their program is to support a whole nother site. Mm-hmm. That would have to be investigated. But I can't answer that because but obviously if we have a new issue and we have some new data needs regarding that, I think it's probably to everyone's benefit that we don't just have conjecture going on as to what's happening.
Yeah, I think it would solve a lot of issues.
The continuity between where these sites are and the ladders, do you guys feel pretty comfortable with comparisons on temperatures at the bottom and the exit?
Well, I think that's something we need to have a little forum, a little team discussion on. I think that's important is deciding where is the best place to put these monitors. Yeah. I don't think we have that dialed in yet.
At Snake River, we had a study back in the...
Let's find out where they are.
We've got pictures exactly where they are right now and where they were at other times too, and they're down to a refined spot now. So I can send that off or send that to you.
Yeah,
that's an old report. Kind of tee off some discussion, and then we can maybe bring in some of these other people if we need to, because it's kind of a separate program. I don't know if folks are totally understanding that Greg has, just as part of adult passage, informally provided and got the projects utilizing Hobos. Okay, it's not really a sophisticated program where we do anything with data. The place where we have a sophisticated program where we do something with data is back to Steve Jewell, and there's a link with the Vision as well there. That's part of the TDG program.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm suggesting would be the better long-term alternative, is to look to see whether we can get a link into that that would incorporate more, because then you have the availability of the data out with the temperature string data and things like that. Whereas when you're pushing it on our projects, you know, they're not staffed technically.
That's what I want to get away. I want to get away from that sort of process and get to more. It's a more automated.
Yeah.
Doing it down.
Okay. So.
Okay.
You're tracking that, Greg? Or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about this at Fitterwood.
Okay, that's fine. I'm actually not going to be there, but I'm sure I'll be here as you'll bring it back to FPOM as I need to be here.
Yeah. Because there's hardware involved. Fitterwood kind of looking at it technically from a,
how do you connect it here?
Yeah, a broader perspective.
Yeah, I don't want to pile on here, but I mean, it isn't just the snake either. Somewhere there's a quarter of a million sockeye missing between Bonneville and McNary, and you know what's going on there. What's the ladder X temperatures of McNary or John Day or who knows?
So, well, if they were within McNary, we might have counted them, right? So it's the counts between. So they're missing from the counts.
He's just saying Bonneville all the dams. This sort of technology should probably be in all the entire.
Yeah, the counts are. I'm not talking counts. Tag is the same thing. It's 48%. I did the analysis myself, and you know that's half of a half a million. It's a quarter of a million.
Right.
somewhere lost. I can add a little bit.
Well, I think water temperature is your big issue this year. I don't think there's any secret about that. I don't suspect we think that they're necessary. I mean, there's probably, didn't someone, and you guys weren't in the forum, someone where I was listening this week on another call mentioned that there'd been a notice of fungusy sockeye in Drano Lake.
Oh, there's videos on YouTube. You can actually wall watch it on YouTube.
Drano, all of those rivers.
Okay.
Tanner Creek, a little bottom.
Any place where there's cool water.
Oh, yeah. We know that. But I mean, the thing is, people are asking questions. Okay, well, what's going on at these dams? I don't know. Yeah, I don't have temperature for that. I don't have any way to look at that to see if there's a problem there, too. So. I'm not saying there is a problem, but it'd be good
to
have.
So I think there's a suggestion that there's going to need to be some long-term planning in case we have another year.
I don't want to just shotgun the whole place with hobos and stuff either. I think we just need a few, you know.
Well, that's why I want to keep it somewhat at a higher level, too. I mean, when we get down into here, we get into, like, hobos, but if we can keep it kind of, because I think you guys are going to be the ones pushing out and saying we need to have this broader plan moving into the future. And maybe part of that needs to be this monitoring that you're asking for now. And I don't think that's impossible.
We're going to have something after this year to describe some, you know, what happened one for one. And while the operations that were tried on the snake, what was the effect of those? And then also loss of fish in the lower Columbia. And what can we do to at least...
I thought maybe you were going to have like an unmanned vehicle down, swimming around, like taking shots or something.
But I think you need to do, like Trevor was saying, some kind of basic evaluation. You know, what part of the ladder is critical?
Yeah.
If we don't really have that.
Or is there a differential?
We can go there if we think that's the problem. I guess, you know, I'm only speaking for Walla Walla. I'm not certain that the ladder themselves necessarily are our big issue for the lower Columbia thing. It could well be just the temperatures in the overall river.
It could be. Yeah. Looking at the exits is probably the most important thing, just to see what...
Well, I'd say exit entrance to see if you see any
transition somewhere halfway up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's usually where we see the biggest problem.
Scroll case is going to give you tail race, plus we have the monitoring, the gas monitoring sites. Yeah. So that's enough to kind of give you a picture. But right now what we're missing is those ladder... You know, the exits.
So sort of a differential between the tail race and the exit is kind of what would be very beneficial.
McNary,
to
we know we've had issues in McNary in the past.
Well, John Day,
too, with the Columbia River, what little bit it has left in.
Yeah, so if the problems after fish enter the ladder, you know, it's a different question altogether. But if we're starting at that point, we're wondering if we're getting over the ladder or not.
Yeah, right now, it's just a big question.
But we don't have good temperature data for that.
I'm not even. I don't even
want to
touch the temperature.
I was going to mention that too. Regional need. What temperature? We got that.
No, I'm saying for last color passage.
In the summer.
Okay. I think we're done with coordination notification forms, and we're ready to move on to the fish passage plan change forms.
Cool.
Sorry to cut off the dialogue. I know it was really good.
Please do.
Yeah, we're just about done here. So, pending FPP change forms. Lisa, you've been a driver for these all along, so if you want to lead, feel free.
They were presented last FPOM. Received some feedback that the Ice Harbor Lomo pattern should be more uniform. The tables that were sent in the MFRs a couple days ago from Walla Walla regarding the removal of the RSWs and the implementation of these local patterns is what is now reflected in these change forms. Bill has printed out copies. They're also updated on the website. They reflect Bill's recommendation to go more uniform.
Does anybody want to see it?
Sure. And
besides Harbor.
I'd love to get concurrence on these. I think this is...
You've been trying for several months.
Well, it just feels like we're already there. This is what we're doing now. Is there something better we can do, or is this...
Once again, this came out of the point of we were hoping to be able to take a look at the model.
That's low mo.
Squeeze ask glance.
Sure. Well, aren't you guys going to have a chance to look at the model and say
that'll be October? Coming up.
Yeah,
that's my point. November. That's why it's kind of me at this point. And the other thing I would suggest is if you guys when you go to these, you have project bios out there who are pretty familiar with their tail races. They can take a look at this and say, oh my God, that looks great, or oh my God, what did you guys do?
Okay.
So I would suggest you get some feedback that way until we get a chance to look at the models. Because right now, we've never modeled like this, so I have no idea what hydrology is about this.
One of the problems I had Monday of getting an approval from hydrology people, Ryan Lowry, he was out at Ice Harbor.
Right, looking at this stuff.
And of course he said, I love it. I think the Ice Harbor one's good. So Ryan's good.
Ken and Bill are both on the phone, or were on the phone, and I guess we would... encourage as well as towns, if you see a low flow spill pattern that you think is adverse to fish passage, that you bring it to our attention in district so that we can have some further discussion here in FPOM whether or not these spill patterns that we're now adjusting at the low end for the fish passage plan in future years need further refinement.
Well, we are planning a trip to the third or fourth week of October to look at other alternatives. This is just a temporary pattern to finish
out. Operations really hasn't been holding the loop on that, so
it's just being planned right now.
Okay, so we want some presence there, whether it's project bios or Russian history.
And I talked with Brian, Erdic has started up the three models and are starting to work on it. So Ice Harbor and Lomo and Granite.
On the low flow scenarios?
Yeah.
So Lisa, what do you think about waiting until after that trip to finalize this? That seems like we might come up with some suggestions. Why change?
Sure. The projects are fine. They have patterns here. The most current ones, they have those. That's what they're going to be doing this year until August 31st.
We're fine with that.
So, I agree that maybe we should wait to put those on hold take them if necessary. And then also we could work into that any sort of criteria for the duration of when we should close the RSW. Because Lomo doesn't have any patterns currently defined for no RSW spill. Yep. All the other projects do. And so that's going to be a whole new table to add to the project as well. So.
Yeah, so I say go with what you've got right now. It sounds like Ryan's semi-happy at ICE. That's
okay. Yeah, he's happy at ICE.
I can be happy that you might send him on another little field trip up to Mo. He can spend there for a little while and fuss with that. And then if he buys off on that...
Here's the little Mo one.
Yeah, that's... this looks like a bolt pattern. Shopping.
It should be more of a bolt pattern. It's not really a bulk.
We're running up here right now.
My point is, I'm saying you're basically concentrating on flow in the middle instead of going.
Yeah,
so it's like
we only have one stop. So.
Yeah, it's like you can put it over here.
It's either here is a bulk.
You go here, or you put it there. You put it next to each other, or you spread it out.
It's crowned, or is
it? Yeah, it's crowned.
It's crowned better.
Yeah, and that's why I say you send Brian out, take a look at it. He says that's okie dokie. I'm okie dokie.
All right, that's good. Then we'll just put it on hold until the FPP portion of it, until after get some model results and we can tweak it. So,
Good.
Maybe you want to go to the could have waited here and help me drive to the moment to look at.
So then we'll just, I'll just draft up ones for the 16th.
There you go.
Yes,
you'll
I'm
sure.
And that's one thing you might ask Ryan to do is come and talk at Fitterwick on what these patterns look like.
Yeah, he will.
He gets a little updated at Fitterwick.
Ryan and I talked Tuesday night about that, so yeah.
So keep it moving. The next one is lampreytrapping greater than 70 degrees.
Does anybody need to look at it? It's super simple. No? Okay. Anybody have any issues with it?
Unless you talk to Brian, I will get his input.
It's just basically clarifying that at temperatures above 72 degrees that sampling of salmon and lamprey shall cease. So.
I think he's probably fine with this, okay. But I will double check.
Okay, so pending, Tom will get back to you. Does anybody else have
Brian
issues?
Brian will get back to you.
Brian will get back to you, okay.
I'm not going to drive you, I'm going to give a
just Bonneville. It's just at
okay.
And then we do have two new change forms to add. John Bailey brought up a change form for, we spoke about this earlier in the agenda, about changes to Appendix B for the barge scheduling, just in order to cover the dates. Depending on when it starts, it could end on the 14th or 15th. So it's basically just a clarification on when we would go to truck barging. If anyone wants to look at it.
Yeah, it's a pretty minor change. It's just the date. It just gives, you know, it's either, instead of one day, it specifies 2 days.
Right now, it just says August 15th, which it might, may or not be accurate, depending on when we started. So, yeah. So he just added some words to accommodate that.
So it sounds like we have no issues with that.
I'm not sure what
was it?
It was the transport FPP change form to make it August 15th or 16th so the future, so that we didn't have to do a change. Okay, so
and then the next change form was drafted up in response to Gary's memo last month regarding Bonneville split flows. We incorporated his comments, referred to a later section for the unit priority order and operating ranges rather than trying to get address it in here. So, and this has just been posted to the website, so folks can take a look at it and let us know next month, or if they just, I guess we just want to look at it now. Basically, so there's nothing different than what we talked about last month. It's just, I think
The only thing I'd add to that is that I'd like to see that implemented before next month. So,
okay.
Obviously, we've already talked about it today a little bit. With the transformer outage and all that stuff coming to
force it. You're going to
get it. It's happen anyway, but let's make sure it's covered.
You just want two or more units as a part that you're. I mean, there's no real change. The split flow, what's the big difference?
This is one half the powerhouse, not just the. Or half the flow, half the river flow.
Okay.
Powerhouse one versus just two units.
Right.
So it's more. Which is what we're going to be doing.
Okay. It is what we're going to do. It doesn't read exactly that way. It says two. Got it.
Okay, I'll look at it again. Make sure.
Because I did spread it.
Okay.
Hand it to me a minute.
Okay.
Hour.
I thought it was good.
So, do folks want a chance to look at this?
I guess so.
More? Okay. So,
I thought it was good.
Yeah, I
thought so. I thought you copied what I wrote.
Yeah, that's.
There is a change.
And I think the only part that was confusing last time was these three bullets that regarding where to operate the turbine units, and they were inconsistent with our mid-range stuff, so we decided to just take that whole section out and refer to a later section, so rather than trying to make it confusing as much. So,
I'll take a look at it. Okay. When you get a chance, we'll go back to the library, and I'll give you a answer on that in a second.
Sure. So, if anyone wants to see a copy of it, it's here, but...
Yeah, he sent it down this way.
Is that down?
Awesome.
Delivered.
Wow. Do you need a copy, Eric?
Silver bladder. Long and short on lamprey. We can't quite sign on to lamprey one yet. Ryan thought Nathan was going to work on some language that was different than this. So I would suggest talk to Nathan or talk to Brian directly, because they thought there was a different understanding of what they were going to do on lamprey and that kind of stuff. So
Well, in my understanding of land breaks, since there is such a big biological data gap regarding temperatures, is they rubber stamp in some other criteria. That's what you usually see around the region when there's a decision about what to do with land breaks.
Yeah, what my understanding is that there was some discussion about sampling at 72 would probably stop, but trapping for translocation and adult collection would have something different. So that was the part of this that needs to be worked out on Lamprey, because those traps are separate and that kind of stuff. They're not, they won't be running the AFF and that kind of stuff. There'll be something completely different. So that was the question mark. That's what I think Nathan and the Lamprey group was supposed to be working on this. So at this point, we are not, we're not in agreements with how this is written yet.
Okay.
That's the way we implemented it this year, but that's what we tried to avoid, because there was confusion over which group is which, who's doing what we can do, what we can't, so we tried to make it clean.
Yep.
And err on the side of fish.
And that I just think, well, the problem is then you have, if you did that, then you wouldn't get any fish for translocation, which kind of has big implications for certain core projects. So I'm going to let the Lamprey Task Group iron this out, because I don't want to get in the middle of it.
That's where we have people rattle the sword. On this one,
shocking.
Shocking, yes, I know.
Pretty bold before salmon.
That's why they're smarter. That's why.
So why would you tend to think that what passes salmon passes lamprey? I think you'd think it the other way around.
I would think lamprey probably more hardy, actually, honestly.
I would just say we shouldn't make any assumptions.
Right, yeah. Yep.
And I'm just saying there's a Lamprey Task Group, and let them make their recommendation, and you guys can argue all you want about it.
Sweet.
No.
That's what I'm all about.
I think I've told you before that the trap, I'm a little concerned about that trap. Ben, I think from what I saw from the spreadsheet that came out with all this stuff was that it's not being used right now. Is that right? Are they is that
trap?
Yeah.
No.
That they haven't been trapping anything for the last several weeks.
Right.
That's what that spreadsheet looked like. It said.
They got there.
Sure.
A lot of fish pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
So we haven't had any mortalities lately.
I definitely want to look at that because I know we've had some mortality of salmonids in that trap.
Just
and I finally focused on it the last time I was out there, and it kind of shocked me actually how that thing runs. So, or it looks like it runs. I don't know how it actually works because I've never seen it really working, but it looks like it could easily trap salmon in that thing.
I do love that the people that are dealing with lamprey aren't even here, so this is excellent that you're bringing this up now. Because Nathan's not here, unfortunately, and he's kind of the liaison, and Brian's not here, so. We need to make sure that message gets across. And we deal with
Yeah, I think we have a task group, don't we, or the AFF task group. We could actually put that in there, I guess.
Does the AFF task group deal with the lamprey one?
I don't know.
Nope. It's not new, but
nope. Okay, well, so then I'll raise it up.
We've talked about this before. We Sean and the Lamprey folks really need
it. I've talked with Sean about it, and I've talked with you, Tom, about it. And I
know.
The bottom line is, I don't think any take out of that trap, I don't know how that's covered under ESA.
Because there is none.
I don't think they are.
Well, have they had any?
Yes. Yes, and several. So
adults or juveniles?
They're mini jacks or juveniles, depending on how you look at them. So that's what they're getting is a smaller fish, but they're still salmon.
Mini jack.
I know.
Endangered,
well,
threatened mini jack.
It's an important fish.
Heaven forbid, right? Traps.
No, not cuckold right here.
Genetically.
It's only placing between cohorts now.
Yeah.
But no, my point is,
all right, so this one isn't approved, and we will come back to it later when we have an updated change form. Excellent.
And the lamprey groups need to be involved.
Yeah. And we're waiting on Bonneville to get it.
So the Bonneville split flows, Eric, did you have any? You had some concerns with the language being deleted, and so what we did is just, rather than trying to rewrite it, and it just referred to the section where those mid-range operations are defined. So that way it keeps everything the same. No changes.
Yeah, I know how we refer to a bunch of different documents and a lot of these things, and it kind of gets lost in the noise, so that sounds like a reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise,
it's the same document.
It's the same document.
Thanks. I don't know.
Load shaping guidelines.
2 out of 5, that's good.
I'm still working on it.
Those first two just can't go anywhere. It's amazing. It's a summer long.
2 out of 5.
So we're moving on to task group updates. Is there any task group updates?
So the bond minimum spill.
Who's covered it?
Oh, minimum. Sorry.
Minimum spill.
Yeah, minimum spill is we have, well, I don't know what we have.
That's down at Irving,
that was
going to
be
right?
An Irving trip. No, that's kind of sliding a little bit because of the cost. I think the cost of doing the model was like $25,000. So
really?
The Portland industry's kind of balking at that cost.
You didn't ask O&M.
That's the email I got from Rory was $24,000 or $25,000 to get the model up and running. So now we're back to coming up with ideas of how to do it in the prototype, and I suggest your pump kits. $24,000 for the pump kits through the corner collector.
That's right, you did. I saw that email.
Where do you want me to send the check?
Well, actually, I'm growing quite a few in my house. Yeah. I'll bring them on down. No,
the cost of the corner collector per day.
Halloween.
Yeah, that's okay. You're going to fund that. No, that's spill, actually. It's not the corner collector you should be worried about.
Okay. Well, I think our trigger's too low. Yeah, that's the bottom one.
Our trigger's too low.
Yeah, we should be spelled down 50K. It's too close.
That's another issue, but
that's this issue, right?
No, he's got a different issue.
This issue is what's the minimum you have to put out the spillway to ensure you still get good egress from the corner collector? If you don't now, want, what is the minimum you would operate the spillway at?
That's how we're different doing.
Issues.
Yeah,
two different okay. issues. This is to keep the corner collector going downstream.
I thought you had concerns with the 50 that you thought 75 might.
Oh, I definitely do. Okay. But this issue was if you go, well, okay, you're right. There's a bunch of releases of this.
The reason you'd be interested in this other low point is because you cut it off at a high trigger.
Off somewhere up here.
What do you go to?
Because you want to keep the corner collector running. So what is the true minimum spill at Bonneville Dam for keeping that corner collector running? That's what
you
want to know.
You design it with no spill in mind?
No. It was designed with spill, definitely. Wouldn't work without it. Not location.
It's
too expensive. Yeah.
Kelsey's fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Was
so,
that because it couldn't be designed without
just not that location? Couldn't go far enough.
Yeah,
I mean, unless we cross the river and then down the bank and all that.
Yeah, it would have been a $200 million project. That
it was hard
so
to get rock
need,
to walk to the end of that Cascade Island, much less. I mean, he wanted
we need
to
go
right
trip.
Up there at the
yeah.
project.
But we need to answer both questions.
Yes, we do need both questions. However, I've changed the title so it focuses.
What do you got? Corner collector minimum spill?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Moving.
Are we going to get an Erdic trip or are we not?
Well,
hand or what?
There is going to be the Erdic trip 21st of next month that will go, but whether or not there's going to be any view of the model is still up to Portland District, I guess, and the cost. But the thing to keep in mind is that model does not include the corner collector, so there would have to be some interpolation.
Okay.
In there because you guys saw fit to destroy the bottom of
the general model.
Wouldn't that be pretty hard then?
Laura's got some ideas about how to put some little flags in there and watch which way they turn. And
I don't know.
Yeah, she's pretty good. That
you're gonna just carve a corner.
But you didn't like her CFD idea. All right.
Water
so we're not getting anywhere with that one, and we're not getting anywhere with the load shaping guidelines yet, correct, Scott?
Well, okay, wait a minute. How long have we had that on here? How long does it take Scott to get permission?
We modified them in 1995.
he's in the decadal time frame.
I helped write them.
I know.
That's why it was in 95.
I got to modify it in 95.
But it needs modifying again.
The attorneys are really reluctant to make a lot of modifications at this time.
I.e., wait till Judge Simon does something. There you go.
Next month.
Next year. You want to put a beer on that? I'm saying you'll be lucky to see something in November.
Okay.
November's my
deadline. This is going to be next year.
Going back to Lisa.
You don't think he's going to do it?
Next year?
We'll talk about this.
We'll at least put it on for next year.
Put this off until next year.
Wow.
All right, so moving on to adult counting.
I think we have any updates. We forgot earlier that we've got some video on the webpage. We updated with a potential conversation to draw a video. So other than that, our plan is to test continued infrared in the fall. I'll run and get out going that time.
Are you going to get us an update of kind of report on how the Dells work this year?
Yeah, we will write that up.
Okay, cool.
And we should have that to you by April.
Awesome. Thank you.
Tammy,
do you have
the infrared video
at Bonneville's on the webpage? The infrared video that we've done is on the Dells. It's been our microcosm. We went in there at night, worked with the counters, shut off all the lights. So, and it was a test. We're making progress. What I'm here to tell you is we're making progress, and we're going to continue to make progress. And hopefully, we'll solve the solution by the end of this fall.
Yeah, write something up at the end of it.
Something really good.
And your video is posted.
Yeah, we posted a number of videos to give you examples. Lights on, lights off.
Are those posted on the iPhone website?
Where are they?
Yes.
Awesome.
If you, so if you look in your agenda, you'll see there's a link, and if you go to that link, you will find all the time.
There's no link there, and then the double find out.
Oh, yeah, it's on mine.
Yeah.
When you look at the minutes.
Oh, okay, there you go. I read the agenda. Nice try.
All the other ones have their links.
I couldn't
pull
it up. So we're going to be
posting. It's
going to
be on the table.
I just posted it yesterday.
Okay, and I saw it, but I couldn't pull it up.
I did check it. It does work.
What, she had a lampshade too?
You know what? It was a thank you gift from my Girl Scouts. I told them I would wear it.
I see they're not going to be fashion designers.
I will say one thing though.
Who's their leader?
I won't go there.
Their leader is
going
to kick me.
They knew.
That's why I'm running quickly.
I'm sorry.
There is some loss of quality between what you would view on the DVR when you're sitting there to what you're going to see posted on the webpage, okay? So bear with us, and what we'll do at one point is we'll get you some really crisp video that we'll bring into the room.
Awesome.
There's some loss of quality between the beginning of this meeting and the end of this.
Exactly.
All right. Condition monitoring, we will meet after the September FPOM. Is that what I heard?
For condition monitoring?
Yes.
Yes. Review the, there was a memo sent out. Review that and then bring your ideas and we'll try to hammer this out a little farther.
What memo?
Was that?
Does that fit into when you were going to be here? Because I think, Gary, you were one of the people that was fairly at, even though Trevor's the lead, it seemed like you were at the last meeting. We had Michelle here. We had a lot of. Then we received a memo from Michelle.
I have no recollection.
You'd be able to make the September F-bombs.
Walk away, yeah.
That's posted.
I sent my memo out.
I know.
It is what
so
it is.
So we have two memos.
I'm not going to change this.
I guess Trevor will cover if you're not here. Is that where we're headed? Okay.
Team Trevor.
We'll just push it on.
Team Trevor.
Gary's got to be here.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I heard him say he wasn't sure he was going to be here in September.
Not that.
The 10th?
10th. I don't think so.
It can wait.
Yeah, push out
October.
October
when you're hunting?
Well, November.
So if you don't want to make any changes for next year, just tell me now, and we just will put up.
Just adopt the memo I sent out.
Oh, this is a buyout thing anyway. So
I'm gonna just when it comes to December, we're gonna have to rearrange our date again because I think AFEP is on top of our December date, so we might want to be tracking as we get a little closer an alternate date for December. Yeah.
Well, I would just put a placeholder, and if we don't need the meeting, just cancel the meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
Or just have a phone call.
Yeah, phone call. I mean, it's covering the biggest.
So usually what we do in December, and then we go to a off-site location.
Where are the off-site meetings?
Where they have the high octane.
Meetings are much more entertaining than.
They are.
You probably are. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, is it really?
That's going to be back across the river.
It's really hard to make it adjacent to that. That doesn't seem to work to have it the same week, so we do end up having it in a different week. But we could have it maybe the week before, Tammy.
Yeah, usually we end up canceling it, so I'm not too worried about it.
And do you have that AFEP location yet?
Charlie was mentioning that it's Walla Walla.
It is.
But where? Yeah, college or...
No, I haven't seen that.
That's, yeah, you're...
Yeah,
really?
First one. Is that an administration?
We don't have notification until the week before, so.
2 days before we'll get there.
So, condition monitoring has been moved to October.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, they got a new contract.
October?
For this one, yeah.
Condition, okay. Adult flows?
October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Co-chair, Mr. Nice try.
You two are the fearless leaders here. You're just the dot by.
So, Bob, how's your gals split, adult flows going?
You got volunteer for that one.
Yes. Formerly known as split flows.
It's not going.
Okay.
Okay.
Simple.
Well, yeah.
Well, we're still waiting for a U of I report, and
right.
John
do that, right?
Said that he has.
These guys are slower than Noah, and that's saying something.
No. No.
Damn straight.
For all the idea was to look at the RT report of fish passing as everything.
We're fast.
There's crappy.
Yeah, there's
numerous UI.
Yeah, I think we have everything we need. In fact, I read it. It must be out.
So what is it?
It said that the fish were moving across the river before they got to the spillway, and a large percentage of them were. And
yeah, we had fish.
But it didn't really help us with this issue.
No, I talked to Skipper Condell. We had RT fish in the river during the test.
Right.
At the beginning of the test, about 14 fish.
One trip
on the first day, and by the end of the test, we had almost 39 fish for the high day near the end. So there's some fish there to look at, but getting broad, distribution changes as possible, the way we have to be set up there, getting the more localized behavioral, at the Thalwig and by the wall, we're not going to get that. We had two fallback events during the test. They were fish that exited the east ladder. We had fallback events after the test as well.
So I think the data are there. I mean, we shouldn't be keep putting this thing off because we haven't read the report. The report's out. So.
Okay, I thought we were waiting for a September report.
There will be finalized. Yeah, a steelhead report.
But that's not going to give us much on this.
Probably no. I mean, we can ask you about putting together a letter report from existing data. I don't know how much we get out of that. I think the window knows is probably the better.
So going into this fall, what do we have for plan?
So we're going into this fall with a big number of fish, and we have no plan.
Of course, it's
not.
I think you want to.
That's the part of it. Okay. So I think this group needs to get together pretty soon. Or we need to have.
Set a time.
You are gone a lot.
Well, we need to have. I will be gone in September. We need to have a plan before September starts.
Okay.
Last year we did this because September. That's when the people So
can we add this to your special category?
Last I heard, we weren't expecting that.
Possibly. We talked about having special category next week on Tuesday.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to work. Lori's out until she'll be back.
So right now, what is your
next week?
Everyone,
thank you.
If you have questions about the gals that want me to talk to you about, let me know, and I'm happy to call them and do that.
Okay,
well, I think
that's
the report that we need is already in hand. Everybody needs to take a look at it, and let's sit down and talk about triggers and options, and if we want to do another test this year, we might. Unilateral decision by Scott.
I got to figure out what the trigger is, but we need to have a problem.
Right.
I think that's the key is figuring out
where we have to find the problem.
And at the very least, what we should be looking at out at the project are indicators of a problem.
Make it a little bit
of idea. It's not efficient.
We know what we can do if we find the problem.
Yeah.
What was the outcome of that discussion? Okay.
The last
one. Try to be next.
All right.
Yeah. Last issue was at AFF.
Yeah.
Is there an after action report?
The after action report is
still
September 3rd, would you be available to potentially